Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to TWiT and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 263, recorded August 29th, 2010. Dunn Hoehn. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by Ford and the new Ford Fiesta. With an EPA estimated 40 highway miles per gallon, no other compact car is more fuel efficient. And fuel economy is just for starters. The 2011 Ford Fiesta. Ford invites you to drive one at a dealer near you. And by GoToAssist Express. Providing tech support to clients and colleagues in person is expensive and time-consuming. Support smarter remotely with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/TWiT. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the latest tech news. But today, I don't know, it's really going to be a show about the people on the show, I think, because we have an all-star cast. This TWiT has been awaited for years. Kevin Rose is here.
Hello, hello.
My good buddy, one of the original Twitters.
On show number one.
Show number one. And, of course, the founder of Dig and Dig Nation, which is the number one podcast in all the world probably at this point.
Yeah, right.
And we'll talk about Dig 4, the new Dig. I know you've kind of been on the griddle on this one.
It's been crazy. Crazy few days.
We'll talk. I'm sure there's lots to say. Also with us, Mr. Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle.
Hello.
And the tech blog there. Hey, Dwight.
How are you?
Very well. Nice to have you here.
I'm excited to be on with this great lineup. This is like one of the best lineups ever.
I agree. You and I are
just going to sit back and listen.
Yeah, exactly. You and I will just throw him a question once in a while.
That's
also
right.
With us, Robert Scoble, the Scobalizer.
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
From sunny Half Moon Bay. It's a rarity.
Is it sunny out there? Wow.
It's beautiful. Here, I'll show you.
No wonder your white is so unbalanced. Look at that. Green grass and blue skies forever. Nice to have you, Robert.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And somebody who hasn't been here in 3 years. So it's been so long that people thought we hated each other. Mr. Adam Curry.
Hey.
Hot Pockets.
The Hot Pocket guy. The hell?
That was amazing.
Of No Agenda and his new show, The Big App Show, bigappshow.com, which is a very good idea. It's a podcast, but each individual show is an individual app.
It's an app about apps.
It's an app about apps. That's what I mean.
And it looks like the app is running on your phone, so it's better than looking at text descriptions and screenshots. Right. I actually show you the app running, and it looks full screen on your phone.
It's clever because, frankly, I think this is what everybody in content is doing, is writing an app around their content. You know, Condé Nast. Everybody. This is what you do these days.
What I found amazing is that no one has really caught on to the idea of using an app as something for episodic programming. You know, it's not like something you just download once and it only does one thing. I mean, update it with RSS feeds and every day there's a new episode.
Well, musicians have done that. I mean, you can buy albums that update themselves,
true,
things like that.
True.
So the technology is there. We do, you know, we have a TWiT app that, you know, has all the latest TWiT shows in it. In fact,
I love your TWiT Pad app. That's my favorite.
Isn't that nice?
I really like that one. Yeah, that's real good. I wish a version like that was available for the iPhone. I'd feature it for sure if it was on the iPhone.
There is one for the iPhone, yeah, actually.
The same kind? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, same guy. Shift Key Software, Craig.
Really?
Craig wrote first for the iPhone, and then there's an iPad version. But
I'll put it on this week.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Lots of stories today. I don't even know where to begin. Let's talk a little bit about the news, then we'll talk about the personalities on the show. Give Kevin a break. Poor Kevin's been grilled for the whole week about Dig 4.
It's all good.
I love, just on the record, Dig 4 is fantastic.
You know that because it's kind of
your idea.
It was my idea.
That's right.
The feature set I wanted. But I know some of the dig fans are not happy. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we should start with our old friend Paul Allen suing everybody except Microsoft, and for some reason Amazon, claiming he basically owns every technology on the web. I'm surprised he didn't sue you.
He sued quite a few people, didn't he?
The idea was that his company, Interval Research, which was a blue sky R&D company, I remember it was running while we were doing Tech TV. Paul owned Tech TV, and Interval was going on while we did Tech TV. It was, and in fact, they closed it because it was just too blue sky. They weren't creating any products. Well, I guess they created some patents, and now Paul is suing Google, Facebook, eBay, everybody, you know, all the big players on this, saying that he has the patents that basically are used to, I don't know, it's kind of, they're such vague patents.
It's for processes like recommendation engines and stuff
right.
like that.
Which is odd that he didn't sue Amazon. He sued Apple.
No, I think Amazon's listed. Amazon's listed.
Here's the rundown.
I'm quite sure
Google,
Amazon's
Facebook,
listed.
eBay, Apple, Yahoo, AOL, Netflix, Office Depot, Office Max, Staples, and YouTube.
All right, eBay. No, I got eBay, not Amazon.
No Amazon and no Microsoft. Of course, Amazon uses Paul Allen technology, and Microsoft is the major investor, obviously, one of the guys who started it.
Yeah, they probably
is he in Amazon as well?
So. Yeah, there's some technology that Amazon uses that's a Paul Allen venture.
Microsoft also has 803 lawyers. So.
Well, you'd think Google might have a lawyer or two in its back pocket.
I'm sure they do.
Why is he suing
Office
Depot?
I suspect that they've licensed it, that they essentially have struck a deal with it, and probably, you know, Paul Allen's been talking to Google and all these other folks for a while and maybe has not been able to score a hit with it. But, you know, he's there in Seattle with Microsoft and Amazon, and they're probably already licensed.
Is this an example of a patent troll?
Absolutely. I mean, I can understand if he was going head-to-head with one of these companies and he was put out of business, you know, and they were using his patent and they had infringed on his patent and now he wants to, you know, get a little something back. But the guy's a billionaire and he's just sitting there on these patents. Why does he – why sue Office Max and Staples? Like, that's on his list of people he's suing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So let's go back to the origin. This is about business processes like the one click, which is the famous Amazon patent.
Amazon
has
that patent and has declined to pursue it.
I thought Apple paid for it.
Maybe they licensed it to a few people, but Amazon could have, I mean, everybody uses one click. Amazon could have been much more aggressive.
Right.
And I think what they decided, I remember that reading, Jeff Bezos had decided, well, you know, we're going to own it. We could pursue it. We could go after people, but we're not.
But obviously, this shows that the Patent and Trademark Office is severely
screwed. It's screwed up. It's bad news.
I do have a contrarian view on this, though. I'd like you to bear with me for a minute if I can try and roll it out for you, Leo.
Anybody with a voice with pipes like that can talk all day, Adam Curry.
That's the Warsanus. So I don't know Paul Allen. I don't know if he's a nice guy or douchebag.
No, he's not a douchebag.
Did he close Tech TV?
He did. He's not a douchebag. Okay. He was kind of a doofus.
Right. Well, he's definitely smart. We know that. And he's not smart.
He's had some bad investments.
I would say he's not the smartest guy I ever met. We don't know. We can't tell.
He's not in great health.
No. Well, he retired from Microsoft because he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, but he seems to have recovered from that. I think that that actually was a pretty good move on his part because he got out of Microsoft, took the stock with him, and now has a giant submarine and ship.
So take this. Let's try this on for size. Let's say you're Paul Allen. You don't know. You've had a near-death experience, Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, I guess it could be terminal. And you want to work on your legacy. And I think the tip off is actually that he didn't list Microsoft and Amazon in his lawsuit because he doesn't want to give them any hassle. And here's why. I think Paul Allen is actually a patriot in the truest sense of the word.
Oh, my God.
Well, bear with me.
I'm bearing. I don't know if I'm with you, but I'm bearing.
So we know that the patent, this patenting of software and the way the Patent and Trademark Office run is severely broken. So what if he went after, I mean, if you want to really for once and for all get rid of these stupid patent lawsuits, the best way is to get the biggest tech companies on the planet and all of their legal teams
and have them all band together to prove that your patents are stupid.
Well, maybe that he's fighting to show precedents. How bad the patent law is. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Then we have jurisprudence that these patents are bogus, and maybe he's doing this as his final legacy for the world saying, let's just have all the lawyers, Google, Apple, Facebook, all these guys, of course they're going to win. They're going to prove that no way these patents you have are bogus, which will immediately obfuscate any other stupid patent in software. I think the guy is a genius. They will
what
win.
If they
no,
don't
please.
Win?
They're going to win. Look at the law firm they've got. Sussman, what is it? Some rinky-dink firm, Sussman Godfrey, who represent little guys against oil companies. And
that's
win like
that's the interval research attorneys?
That's the ones, yeah. That's a small firm. That's not a big firm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I
well,
really
that
think...
That might be a good theory, Adam. Most of your stuff is crackpot, but that...
Yay!
I don't know. I think you should play the Hot Pocket sound again.
Don't
ask him on. Special request from Dallas going out to Dwight, everybody. No, but think about it. If you had nothing but money and you could drag all these guys into a fight, and of course Google and Apple, like, we will fight this vigorously. I wish someone would say something different. That was like, we will fight this. It has no merit. We'll fight it vigorously. Why don't they just say it's a douchebag? That would be much simpler. And I think that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to prove once and for all that these patents are no good, and he's going to get the biggest guys in the world to prove it, and then they're going to turn around and go, oh, wait a minute, we can't actually sue people over our bogus patents anymore, including that douchebag Murgesh who has the podcast patent.
Oh, yeah. What is the status of that?
Well, he's just sitting there. He's ready to troll, right?
That's why. So, if I call him Netcast, am I off the hook? No, because he's still a podcast.
He has patented episodic subscriptions, and it was awarded.
Via RSS or?
The business process of episodic content delivered by subscription.
This has been a kind of a sword of Damocles hanging over the industry's head for about 2 years now, and he's not done anything about it, but.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. So I hope Paul Allen.
You know what he's waiting for?
Does a great job and loses.
Adam, he's waiting for somebody to become big enough to be worth suing.
I think that's Leo. Yeah, actually.
Absolutely. Right.
Leo, you're number one.
That's one thing.
I just pull my head down. For the record, Leo's show is five times the size of Dignation. So go after him.
Here it comes, Leo. Gotcha.
Oh God.
No, that's probably what he's waiting for, right? I mean, maybe he could sue Yahoo or Google or somebody. But
if there was one reform I'd like to see come out of this, is that you're not allowed to sue after 2 years of somebody breaking your patent, you know, of using your patented idea. That way,
why not just make software copyrightable? That's different. I think it's writing, it's words. You write it people write it in IDE or a text editor. I think it's copyrightable. That'd be great because then we have, you can even copyright that under Creative Commons. It's all set up. You know, the whole idea of this trademarking or patenting is ludicrous, and it's actually stifling innovation.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
It's a broken
interesting
system.
To go back and look at it, why the patent office was invented. It was actually invented to try to stimulate innovation and get more people to invent things. And it's interesting
that
it's now being used against innovators.
Our friend Kevin here just had, was it a tea with Jonathan Ive?
No. So here's the story. Basically, Johnny Ive, I guess he goes by Johnny.
Johnny, J-O-N-Y.
Johnny Ive!
Of Apple fame, of creating the iMacs and the iPads and iPhones and the main head designer. One of our guys at Dig reached out to him and said, hey, do you want to go have lunch, grab a coffee? And he wrote back and he was like, yeah, sounds good.
What a good idea.
I know. So here's the problem, though. We are about to go visit him, and he writes us on Friday that he had to jump into a meeting with Jobs, and he couldn't make it, so we're rescheduling for next week.
Oh, so you haven't had it yet?
Haven't had it yet, but
will you Twitter? Will you Foursquare? Will you go Walla?
I will I'll definitely take a picture or two. I told him he can bring Steve if he wants to. That's fine.
I'm Johnny Ives, and I wear tight T-shirts. I'm Johnny Ives. I invented that. I designed it all.
Kevin, are you doing this at the Apple headquarters?
We were going. Actually, we were meeting at a place around the corner from Apple. So
then you can actually shoot a picture, because when I've had lunch with employees out there, they don't let me take pictures.
Yeah, they
they're very secretive.
Some
very
secret little spot. The assistant.
That's so cool, man. I'm jealous. The only Apple employees I get to hang out with are open carry nuts who want to take me to the shooting range.
No, I think that this is, you know, they often say, oh, you know, if you had one person you could interview, who would it be? I think John Ives is absolutely one of them. I mean,
he's in my top five for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who designed the iPod, the iPhone.
IMac.
And that beer you're holding, Leo, I designed it. I'm Johnny Ives.
So I love this theory, and I know, Kevin, you wrote a little bit about it, that, you know, Wednesday Apple's got a big announcement. It could be just, you know, more iPods. But there's a lot of theorizing that there'll be an iPod Touch with a front-facing camera, the Retina display. That seems reasonable. Obviously, an updated Nano. Some people say it'll be square. But here's a real question. You said, and I think I agree with you, an ITV might be a really good move.
I think you're right,
move.
Leo. I heard you talking about that, I think, last week on Twit. Was it last week? Yeah. And, boy, I hope so. It's fantastic if, you know, you get your content through through apps. And didn't Jobs say at the D conference that you had to circumvent the whole cable industry and other than getting your bandwidth, obviously? I think it's great. And I for content producers as well, wouldn't it be great to just fire
well, you're
up
doing
your,
it.
Your Twit?
You're
IT.
Doing
well,
it.
Exactly.
You're ahead,
so
of,
are
the,
you?
Ahead of the game. So Kevin's post is why Apple's ITV will change everything on Kevin Rose's blog. And I couldn't agree more with you, Kevin. Why don't you kind of summarize what you think?
Well, I mean, I've heard the rumors like everyone else about, you know, the different things that are coming to ITV. Apparently, this is going to be like a $99 device, so something that's within the price range of, you know, an average consumer. And the device will be iOS powered. So the same OS that powers the iPhone, the iPad, it's just going to run on this device.
Opens up the whole app library, too.
Right, exactly. All they have to do is recompile it. It takes 5 minutes, and boom, your app is working on your ITV. But the interesting thing is that, you know, some of the stuff I was thinking about was we already have these other devices like, you know, our iPhone, iPad. You know, these can instantly be remotes and controls and give us a interface to interact with the ITV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. There's a game on iPad called Chopper 2. It's a helicopter flying game.
Which you control with the iPhone.
Which you control with the iPhone. You're just sitting there and steering. It's pretty awesome. So,
well, more than that, this Magic Trackpad, which kind of doesn't really have a use case. It's like a big trackpad. Now it makes sense. That's a $60 peripheral for with a sit-back interface, right?
Right.
You can sit back on your sofa and now control your ITV with it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it opens up a whole different, you know, range of users. Even like my mom would love an ITV if I could instantly take a picture of, you know, myself and friends and say publish to my feed. And then it goes out to my .me. All of a sudden she turns on the TV, gets a notification. Pictures are waiting. Videos waiting. Just another. I mean, it's about time.
Kevin, if you only have $200 this Christmas to spend,
yeah,
do you buy the Xbox Kinect or do you buy this ITV?
Ooh, that's a tough one. ITV.
Yeah, I'm going ITV.
First of all, Kevin's got a little more than $200 to spend this Christmas.
Well, Second of all, I just wanted to put some constraints on it. You know?
No, I think the ITV is good. But now, wait a minute, because there's also Google TV, which is going to have many similar features, be controlled by Android phones instead of iPhones.
Right.
Is it a two-horse race?
Well, it was funny. I was at Google just a week ago, and they were talking about, you know, some of the people wrote in and said, hey, come check out the Google TV. Want to show you our box, blah, blah, blah.
Could they get it working?
I don't know.
Because on Google I.O., it didn't work so well. Yeah.
What's really weird to me is that, so one of the things I've been thinking about is that they have this new Chrome OS coming out, right? And this is based off of Linux. It's kind of like based around the Chrome browser.
It's a browser, right?
Yeah. So, but then they have Android apps and that OS. So why have both? To me, like, why don't they just stick with the Android OS, make that kind of like the OS that runs anywhere, allow it to run on their Google TV, allow it to run on, you know, a laptop, whatever it may be.
We've debated this on This Week in Google, our show about Google, and the consensus I think we've come up with is, well, it's like two tries. Why not develop two and figure out which one's going to make it?
Well, you can make Chrome.
It's no contest.
Android's a winner here, right?
I mean, no contest between Apple and Google. Apple knows how to talk to the consumer, and they're going to have the right price point, the right offering. Yeah. The interface is going to be be great.
You know what?
If it really is true, then
they have the store.
Win.
That's what really makes it.
Well, the interface.
They got the money loop closed. Absolutely.
The interface, Adam, I actually think is a great point because I was one of these Google engineers that I had lunch with. They said to me, one of the things we're not good at is making things sexy. Like, we can't make...
Or usable.
Right. So they understand that. They don't
have
the
Johnny
designers.
Ives.
They don't have Johnny Ives.
They also don't have the supply chain. I mean, I visited China and actually visited some of the Apple supply chains, the companies that make Apple stuff. And Apple has the best supply chains wrapped up. They're not going to go to work for somebody else. And that's what... When people say, well, what's going to happen after Jobs disappears from Apple? That's the number one thing that's going to keep Apple important is that supply chain and their ability to make these cool devices and ship them in high volume.
Yeah. The other
Apple
thing I'm...
also has... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other thing I'm really excited about is the idea of how this is going to change the cable and satellite industry.
Well, it disintermediates them. It turns them into bandwidth plays instead of... premium product.
Yeah, which they deserve awesome. To be squashed. They've had a monopoly for way too long.
I don't know if they're
going to
go easily.
They will not go easily.
They're
going to
fight bitterly,
right.
And they've already started bandwidth caps. Why do you think Comcast has a 250 gig bandwidth cap? Not because they right now anybody would use that much, but because if you start watching TV on your ITV, you'll quickly hit that. So there's one. And then, of course, net neutrality. They've already decided. They'll gate this stuff if they have to.
Yeah.
So they're going to play vicious.
This is where Google has the huge advantage because they're also in the pipe business. So Google has some real interesting plays going on.
But you know, Google, we can see it now with what they're doing with Google doesn't have pipes to my house yet.
Say again?
Not yet.
Google doesn't have pipes to my house,
really,
and I live
really
only
into
45
it.
Minutes away from the headquarters.
I think if Google wanted to do that, they would have bid harder on the 700 megahertz spectrum. I think that they showed that they either don't have the guts or the will to become a bandwidth player. They could have. They put the $4.6 billion down, but they didn't pull the trigger on it. They let Verizon and AT&T split that band, and that was... basically saying, well, we're not in it to play. And now, of course, with this net neutrality deal they've brokered with Verizon, they're showing really that they don't have the guts to do it, I think.
Yeah. Well, and Leo, also, Apple has the relationships with the kind of people that do content. You know, they kind of have a history of working with the music industry and somewhat with
the movie industry. That's who likes
this. Except... the stuff that I've read recently, I think there was a Wall Street Journal piece that basically said that only a couple of studios are in on the ITV.
Well, they're going to watch. They're going to watch.
That they're not able necessarily to at the moment to score anything. I don't think
they don't have to be in on it, by the way, because let me tell you why. They've got their own plays. They've got Hulu. Let's say just Hulu Plus. Well, now, instead of doing a deal with Apple and being on the Apple store at 99-cent rental, they make an app. They charge you $10 a month. They don't need Apple. Right. Apple collects its 30%.
Except that Apple is talking to them. I mean,
Apple wants to put together a play, but I don't think Apple has to put together a play to make this compelling.
I mean, this is already working though. I mean, when I had my iPad and the Lost season was finishing up, I was watching on the ABC app.
Yes.
I was watching Lost, and they had their little ads that ran every 5 minutes or whatever it may be. And in the future, if it's 99 cents an episode, I'll click buy it now. It'll go through instantly through the Apple Store.
It's
done.
It's no accident that Netflix is on
here. I'm very skeptical about this. I mean, I know what it takes to produce television shows and movies. And they say, in Hollywood, where I reside now, the joke is, exchanging real dollars for digital dimes. It's just not enough money. It really isn't.
And that's what cable companies...
That's mainly because of the unionization of the motion picture
industry. Then they're out of business. That's what cable companies say, is they say, we can't make it as a bits provider. We have to sell premium services or there's no model for us. I think it's why Verizon put Fios all over the country. I think that.
How about Google teaming up with Verizon to distribute content? There's a network that would work.
Interesting. Yeah, but it would work where Verizon is, which isn't everywhere.
Right. The other thing is that with I think that ITV will happen eventually. I think that they will iterate it. I don't think you're going to see that Wednesday. I don't think they're ready.
Boy, the guitar on the invite kind of means to me.
Yeah.
That it's an iPod and maybe iLife, and they would have put something.
Please, a better iTunes application.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
iTunes.
Leo, I went to a table read of Family Guy.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Which was the most awesome experience ever to see Seth MacFarlane do all the voices.
Yeah.
So all the actors and all the writers sit at a table and they go through the episode. And there's 80 people who work on that show.
Wow.
80 people. I mean, how can you afford that with these little monthly subscriptions? Well, I just don't see it happening.
I'm curious, though. I mean, when you take a look at watching an actual ad on television, like what's the CPM on that? Like how much do they actually get paid for that?
I can destroy this whole argument.
Versus 50 cents a download they get.
HBO.
Yeah.
HBO. They make multi-million dollar productions. True Blood is a very expensive show. Sopranos, very expensive show. No ads. all subscription. HBO makes
it. It's the cable companies pay per user that per subscription.
And the cable companies took 20 years to get to that point. Right?
It's going
to
take no time. HBO makes an app. They charge you $15 instead of the $40. What is it you pay the cable company for HBO? They get all the money instead of giving some of the money to the cable company. And they monetize that way.
I do that in a second. I pay for that.
Absolutely. And especially if it's on your big screen as well as your iPad, right? Mm-hmm. I think the app
model. There will be winners.
I think the app model makes sense. My question is, okay, I'm the cable guy. I'm the guy who owns the pipe. You're about to take away the biggest slice of my business.
You hike up the bandwidth
cost.
What
do I do to fight it? Well, how do I?
Yeah, you got to hike up the cost for bandwidth.
So they're
going to lose those monthly subscriptions. Like, I canceled my TV thing a long time ago. I pay for a direct ticket, which is the NFL stuff, and I don't get anything else, and everything else I consume online.
How much you pay for a direct ticket?
It's expensive. It's like $100.
So if for, say, $50 a year, you put it on your ITV.
I'm in. Done.
They get all the money. They're done. They don't have this. It's disintermediation. That's what the internet does.
Yeah.
But the problem is the intermediation is the cable companies and the telcos. These guys are not going down easy.
Yeah.
They're going down
swinging. Yeah, that's
going
to be kind of scary. I agree. That it's a really, really bad precedent. You know, the last week, Comcast went out in the North Bay. You know, it was down for,
right,
I don't know, 6-7 hours.
And we know this because Dvorak couldn't do his show. He couldn't do no agenda.
That's right.
He was offline.
Right. That was very, very annoying. But yeah, it used to be you just dial into another ISP or whatever. You know, now I got to get an AT&T DSL. And it's just, it sucks. There's limited partners that you can go to.
So I guess the question is, if the cable companies, if the bandwidth providers decide to play hardball, is this why Google's doing the gigabit Ethernet fiber optic, in four cities? I mean, who comes along and competes with them?
The sysadmins of the world unite and build the mesh network between all Wi-Fi base stations.
Yes! Yeah,
that would be amazing.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
All right, let's take a break. I think this is a great topic. We can talk some more about it. Dig 4, of course. There's plenty of other news. Kevin Rose is in studio. It's so great to have my old friend here. Great to have you. Thank you for bringing two six-packs for the two of us.
You got some drinking to do, Leo.
I think that should do.
Are you doing Audible, Leo?
I'll do it. You want to do Audible now? We'll do Audible.
Yeah. I have a suggestion.
All right, hold on. Dwight Silverman's also here from the Houston Chronicle. Robert Scoble. He's not from anyone. He's just... What is that?
It's my app.
You have a camera app?
No, I have my own app. You can.
Oh yeah, that's
just
right.
Just like Adam Curry has an app, I have an app.
Yeah, you know? See, this is the world. The world. You need an app, Kevin.
Revision 3's got apps, but I need.
You need
Dig's got apps, but I need
a Kevin Rose
app.
Everybody, but that's the future, by the way. Domain names. Forget brand names. It's all about individual. I want a Leo app. You get a Kevin app. Adam's got an Adam app. We got a Scoble app.
What would your app do?
Doesn't matter what it does.
It's all about me, man.
It's like Tickle Me Leo app.
Tickle Me Leo.
It'd all be about Kevin Rose.
We blow in the microphone and your dress shoots up.
Yeah, we actually did that, I think, on the Kilt episode of the Screensavers.
Mobile Roadie built my app for me. You should talk to them.
Well, I do think that may be the kind of the ultimate future is complete disintermediation, where you don't even have a big company anymore. Individuals have their own apps because the app is democratizing.
That's what I'm doing.
It's completely democratizing, isn't it?
That's exactly it, and it's so much fun, Leo. Because I do the camera, the editing, everything. I programmed by myself, but I found all these little companies that would help me out. Like there's this company TapLinks that has a framework, which is an RSS aggregator, and then I found some guys who do design work, and they designed some stuff for me. And now I've got a guy working on an Android version. I mean, it's great. I think you're absolutely right. Look at you, man. You've got a little one-man shop, really, and you've got some infrastructure, but it's. I think we're disintermediating all the big companies, particularly when it comes to media. I think it's going to spread out into the edges, and it's going to be... it'll come back eventually. It'll be centralized again, but for the next five or ten years.
Does it need to be? What is the advantage of centralization? It used to be
right
marketing
now, nothing,
and distribution.
Nothing,
but
nothing.
Distribution is available to everybody. Marketing, they don't do doodly-dod for crying out loud anyway.
Teams. It's getting harder and harder to compete as a single guy for certain kinds
of
things.
But Adam just said
teams.
It. They're virtualized teams. So you join, they break up, they ebb and flow as needed. You get the team that you need for the moment you need it. And then you move on. So everybody has a core competency. You go to the people with a core competency. It's like Elance the ultimate, you know? You find what you need, you pair up when you need it, and then you're done. You move on.
Yeah. So
it still costs a little bit of money to buy a studio. I got $300 worth of lights.
It's almost nothing now.
Let me tell you something. Robert, let me tell you something.
Microphone.
How much did the Tech TV studio cost? We had two control rooms, $2 million control rooms.
Millions.
We had $1 million set for Tech Live. You say it costs something, Robert. It's true, but it costs such a fraction of what it used to.
Oh, absolutely. You can, I've done shows with just my laptop, just the speaker and
microphone. And it's going to cost less and less and less.
So, Leo, you've said it before. The only differentiator, the only thing it'll come down to is content. Making the content. Like everyone says, Apple could come in and do that big app show. I say, well, go ahead, let them. Find someone who knows how to do it. I've been doing segments for videos for 25 years. You know, right. I don't care whether it's White Snake or the Gate Guru app. I can do it all.
Aren't those the guys who blew up that club in Providence?
Gate Guru?
Great White. I confused them. Sorry.
Go ahead. So overall, the nature of business is that, you know, things break up and then they come back together again in bigger pieces and then dissolve and break up. And, you know, nature does the same thing. So we're in a period right now where the current structure is being taken apart. But Adam's right. You know, eventually everything will be centralized. We'll have round 20 years from now, big media companies.
I disagree.
Be done differently. It will be done differently, but we'll have them again.
The idea is that there's an economy of scale, right? But I think what's changed is in this digital universe, these digital tools don't benefit from or don't require the economy of scale because we are now spread out completely. We don't need to be in any one spot. You know, Paul Graham talks about how foolish the idea of building an office with cubicles in it. It's very industrial age, the idea, well, you've got to have your employees there so you can watch them, make sure that they're putting out, you know, 13 sweaters a day or whatever it is.
Although it's very interesting that like Techstars and Dogpatch Labs is doing that. And not because they want to watch the employees, but because there is some value of having a lot of people in one place so ideas can get shared easier. And can use technology like Skype. But in fact, I visited Simple Geo in Boulder, Colorado, and they have an office in San Francisco, and they have a live Skype that's always on an LCD monitor.
For that reason, right? So they can. Those are a lot of guys doing that, right? Yeah, that's a neat. I like the Simple Geo business.
I think that the decentralization for a while is definitely what's going to happen. It's even happening here in Hollywood. I'm doing an app with Eli Roth. I mean, the guy's like, well, you know, I just did my movie. This is great. You know, now I want to do something else. And I can't really make money on movies anymore. It's really hard. DVD sales are in the tank, and he wants to move to the app model.
It's pretty clear that humans like to congregate, so that's not going to go away. We're social beings. You know, I talked about my dad's a college professor, and 15 years ago we talked about the future of the university. He said, "You don't need you don't need the library." You don't need the lectures. You need the collegium. Originally, universities, there weren't professors and students. It was scholars gathering together to talk. So that will continue. Yeah. I don't think that's going away. I think that's why you have communal workspaces.
Yeah. You know, WordPress is a really good example of someone that's done a great job at this. I think WordPress has, I can't remember last, but it's in the 20 or 30 employee kind of count, and they're all remote.
Right.
But they fly together like once or twice a year. They all get together. They do their little brainstorming powwow, and everything else is IRC chat.
Is it a negative, do you think?
They seem to be doing very well, and they love it. I mean, you get to work from home or a cafe or anywhere else that you want, and you know, different developers will get together if they're in the same city. But overall, they've said nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Don't forget your ad, Leo.
Yeah, let's talk about Audible. And then this is such a good conversation. I hate to interrupt it, but it's not an interruption to talk about Audible. Audible's that great site that I talk about all the time where you can listen to. This is the kind of thing Audible's all about, is expanding your mind, listening to great ideas from great thinkers throughout the ages, or being entertained by great literature. Audible.com. I just did a count. Almost, they're very close now to 80,000 books, and you can get two of them for free. Go ahead.
I've been a fan of audiobooks. Since were they on that first Rio player?
They were very good. That was my first Audible player.
They had their own player, and now it's gotten a little less because now I'm kind of balancing between podcasts and also I do also like iBooks. But Audible, particularly if you get something like a really weighty book. Here's one that I just got. Now, I've been a member for a long, long, long time. Geez, must be 6-7 years by now that I've had an Audible account. And 63 hours worth of...
By Ayn Rand.
I recommend it highly.
You're such an objectivist.
No.
Is that your philosophy? Do you like that stuff?
No, not at all. But I really, really enjoyed the book. It was actually my fiance who turned me on to it. She bought it for me. And she said, you know, you are John Galt. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you are.
And then I read this book.
Is she Dagny Taggart? What was the name of the woman in
there? Dagny. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, she wants me to be Hank because they have a couple of hot sex scenes
There's some really hot stuff, yeah.
Which is not read really hot in this particular version of Audible.
And then he unbuttoned my blouse and took
It's a hot scene, Leo. You've read Atlas Shrugged, haven't you?
I'm sure Atlas Shrugged, but it is long. As you said, 60 hours...
Yeah, 63 hours, I think,
on Scott Brick does it. He's one of my favorite Audible narrators, actually.
He's good.
This could be yours for free. And then you get another one. So why not get this and The Fountainhead? Let's see. That's 60 hours.
Another good one. Absolutely.
That's 32 hours. So almost 100 hours for
free. And then go get a Leonard Cohen record, jump in the bathtub and pull in the toaster.
Kill yourself! Look, Audible's got everything. It's got Ayn Rand. It's got mysteries. It's got thrillers. It's got The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, whole millennium. You seem like you'd be the guy who would like the Stieg Larsson.
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, Kevin, you got to read them.
Yeah, I know. I've heard.
Oh, my God. Well, this is the way. You listen to them. And you know, nowadays we're busy. We don't have time to read a book. You know, you go to bed. You want to go to sleep. You don't have time to turn pages. Listen in your car when you're driving around.
On the high-speed train.
On the high-speed train? There's no high-speed trains in L.A.
They're coming.
Yeah, they will. In the year 2525.
We're building them.
Like I said, in the year 25. So, but I know I listen at the gym. Do you listen when you're rock climbing?
Not rock climbing, because you got to listen to your belayer, otherwise they'll drop you. But at the gym for sure. If I'm running on the treadmill.
Belay on, what? I'm listening to Ayn Rand. Do you mind? Yeah, in the weight room, on the
treadmill,
which is the most boring.
Awesome.
Look, there's nothing more boring than the treadmill, the Stairmaster, the bicycle. You got to have something, and that's where Audible really is great. Audible.com. Now, this will play on almost anything. There's Zune support. They just added Android support. In fact, the Android app is really slick. You've got your whole library on there. You can get any book. Same thing on the iPhone now. Audible.com/twit2. Two books could be yours, 100 hours. I think you might have taken the cake there, Adam, for the longest Audible recommendation.
Longest book on Audible.
Yeah.
How do they make money on that? I mean, it's only, first of all, you get two free if you go to audible.com/twit2. And I guess any book, right? So Atlas Shrugged would be one of your two.
You get a credit. And I think even sometimes these long books are, let's see, you know what? I'm going to sort by running time. The longest books on audible.com. This is the way to buy. Buy your books by the pound. You know,
by running time. Let's see. I'm going on vacation. I'll have 7 days in the sun. Let me just stack it up.
Here's one. The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William L. Shirer. I read that. It was a great book. 57 hours. That's one credit. Wow. You could have that. Let's look at. Oh, yeah. Atlas Shrugged is, I think, the longest book on there. 63 hours, I think, is the longest. I'm looking.
I've done it.
You've actually broken a record here. Dune is only 21 hours. I think you got it. I think you did it.
And even for the women out there, how about Eve Love Prey? Is that on Audible?
And for the ladies.
For the ladies, it is. Eve Love Prey.
And actually, I have it on my I'm listening to it as well.
It's got to be better than the movie.
I like Julia Roberts eating prosciutto. What's wrong? What could be wrong with that?
Well, you know what happened? I went to see it at 6 o'clock. It was great because you go to the Directors Guild and they have, you know, a theater the way it's supposed to be. It's beautiful. The sound was beautiful. Screening was really good, and I hadn't eaten. And then first, she's in Rome, and there's all this food, and it's very hard to make food look good on camera. But this looked really good.
It looks good.
And so for the whole Prey and Love part, my stomach was growling. I'm hungry. I'm like, let's get out of here. I need some pasta.
Eat Love Prey, even better. Audible.com/twit2. Adam, I know what you're doing. You're auditioning for Audible, aren't you?
Oh, he'd be great. Let me tell you, wonderful.
I would love to do audiobooks. I've actually done a couple just for myself, but I didn't really want to release them. I've done Tom Swift because that's on
Gutenberg. Fun. Oh, how fun.
I love the Tom. I read that as a kid, and you know, Tom Swift and his electric grandmother and his hovercraft. And I loved reading Tom Swift. And so I've actually read a, I think it is the hovercraft one that that I read, and I edited it and everything. But it's hard. You really need a producer to do
it's
that right.
Really
it's
hard.
Really hard to do it by yourself.
Yeah. Corey, I did a story for Cory Doctorow, one of his short stories. He's actually doing an audio release. Should be out soon, I think.
Mm. I love
Neil,
his short
Neil Gaiman
stories.
Reads one of his short stories. I do. There are a bunch of people. And it was, I had to do it two or three times. You're right. You need somebody sitting there saying,
yeah, you
slow
do.
Down. You mispronounced that. That voice changed. Yeah. He was a Scotsman last time you said it. Like that. It's hard.
That Cory Doctorow story that where sysadmins save the world.
That's the one.
That one.
Yeah, I love that. Where they're in the, they're in the basement and the world is ending. And it's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah, I know I'd love to read it. Yeah, yes, Leo, I'm auditioning to read Audible books.
At
the end of every one, I will say audible.com/twit2.
they sent me an email saying, we have a book for you to read. It's 13 hours. And I said, well, how long will that take and where do I have to go? And they
what
said,
does someone get paid for something like that?
You know, that was the question I really
wanted. Is it
per
word kind of thing?
No, it can't be.
I don't think it's very much.
You can't make a lot of money doing that. Do you think?
I have no idea.
Scale.
What is scale for book reading?
No, I think it's just, you probably do $800 a day. So a full day, 8 hours. So you probably do a couple grand for reading it. Just scale, I think.
I have found the longest audiobook on audible.com. Thanks to Etchu. We weren't even close. Romans, the greatest letter ever written. Complete set by John Piper. 153 hours and 33 minutes.
Wow. Whoa. How many ratings does that have?
It's not rated yet because it literally came out 8 days ago.
Okay.
And the first person is still listening to it.
Yeah. I don't understand how this guy could write a 153-hour book on Paul's letter to the Romans. The letter itself is, what, 100 words? Unbelievable.
Wow. Must have been pissed off.
I got to listen to a little bit of this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got to listen to that now.
What could possibly be in this book that it's 153?
And this book is the place where the gospel of Christ shines.
Oh, you know what it is?
Oh, it's a sermon.
It's a 153 minutes hour sermon.
That's a little tough to listen to someone who's talking like this. Is a bit much
for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Story number two. Did we even cover one story yet? I don't think so. USA Today says we're calling it quits, firing 130 people. We're going to go digital. We're not. I don't know when they're going to kill the print edition, but it sounds like they are. Oxford Dictionary print edition gone. Is this the beginning of the end for newspapers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
You work for the newspapers. Let me ask Dwight because he's a ink stained wretch.
This is when you have me on, Leo, is when you have these stories like this.
I call Dwight. When
Make
the
sure my employer doesn't listen.
No, the Houston Chronicle will live forever.
In some form, I think so, yeah.
I mean, some of the story here is not that USA Today is failing because it's print. It's because the print edition of the Wall Street Journal became the nation's newspaper.
Right. It's a matter of competition. I think print will always be around in some form. What's on it is going to be different, just like the way AM radio changed when FM came along. I think there will always be print. Print is a good technology in and of itself, and there are times when it works better than others. But I think that the future of news and the future of local news is indeed digital. I don't want to say necessarily the web because I kind of agreed with the Wired piece that the web is – web isn't dying,
really?
It's being deprecated. And apps, like you know, you guys were talking about earlier, I think are going to be the future. I think people will will get their information in very precise ways through precise applications. And so I think that's what every media company should do. Unfortunately, the Houston Chronicle does not yet have an app. We are working on one through Hearst, but I think that is indeed the future. And the web is being deprecated for sure, as well as print.
I guess it's kind of.
And I have a real
about.
World example of USA Today. Jonathan Swartz was really nice. He wrote an article about the Big App Show, and I could track most of it. I think because it went online first,
And within a couple hours, I had, I don't know, like 15, 20,000 downloads of the app. The next day it comes out in print, nothing, like crickets.
Really?
Like no one cares. Wow.
There is,
and this has been true for a long time. My friend runs ActiveWords, and he had an article about 5 years, 6 years ago now, and he got 40 downloads from the article.
There is there's very little transfer from print over to digital. We run in the Chronicle a reference, a reefer to something that's online. It drives very little traffic from what we can tell. However, I think that's a matter of the audiences being very different. You know, people are not going to go look at something, put their newspaper, their print edition down, and then go to the web and tap on it. But I think that when you have these two different audiences, each one of them cares passionately about it. And what's funny is digital people who are really into using the web and apps to get their news, when their name appears in the newspaper, they go crazy. When we have a story that runs in the newspaper with somebody in Houston who's involved in the digital community here, they go nuts because their name appears in print.
They're so excited.
It still carries some power.
Yeah.
It's still fun to you know, have a newspaper with your name in it and keep that for your family.
That's
or whatnot.
Kind of old fashioned.
The real problem is now, of course, this conversation is not.
But it's permanent. There's something permanent. I mean, I have a lot of newspapers. In fact, I have when I was in The Economist, I have it framed up here. You know, that there's something permanent about it, where things on your flipboard are just, they go away. You know.
Screen capture.
It's not the same, man.
Kevin's in the digital millennial.
I just feel like papers are so. I mean, it just feels like the news is already stale by the time you read it. You know,
it is. Tomorrow is
stale. That's if you live on the web and then you go to look for the newspaper. But there are people who don't pay that much attention to the web. You know, you guys are kind of in a bubble,
Dwight. They're dying.
I don't know if we're the bubble anymore though.
And over time,
my grandfather said I'd never use a computer. He's dead, you know. But
I don't think that killed him. I don't want to be clear about
that.
Doesn't
read paper. He reads on the iPad.
If you walk up to a woman in the Walmart in Pearland, Texas, and she's got a baby on her hip, and she's trying to pick out the cheapest disposable diapers to buy, and you ask her if she's tried Flipboard, she's going to think you're nuts.
Right.
And that's the majority of the people who are out there right now.
But
and
Dwight, that's the unwashed.
That
used to be true when you asked them about Facebook. Now everybody knows what Facebook is. So, you know,
it is
most
changing,
people in the United States now,
you can't think that, the cutting edge digital world is what everybody experiences, because that's not true.
Yeah. But do you think that'll be the case 20 years from now?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I think it's more.
No way.
Yes.
Hell no.
How about trying this on for size?
I agree with you.
Oh, we got to
find a bank account. My sons can pay you off if it's not true.
Robert, you're being ageist, and I don't like it, frankly. Because, seriously, there's a lot of people who aren't as hip and technologically adept as we are.
It's not age, it's IQ. There's plenty of young people who don't use the internet. It's not age, it's education, it's IQ. Let's face it, socioeconomic status.
If the news organizations would report some actual news, then they might get people buying their papers.
Well, that's interesting.
I misunderstood the comment that you made. I agree that in 20 years, the woman in Walmart is going to understand that.
Yes.
I agree with that very much. So.
Yes. Just as they understand Facebook today.
Right.
Look, he's pulled out something. What is that? That's the Wall Street Journal.
It's a printing plate from one of the Wall Street Journals.
Oh, that's cool. Now, that's memorabilia.
It's memorabilia. And this is a physical object. That's why it's sort of cool to be in a newspaper, because you can actually hold it.
And you can say someday, kids, in the old days, we got news on these things.
But this is actually a printing plate.
They used to press that against a tree that was smooshed, and they'd use some black stuff. And it would leave an impression on the wood, and then truck would bring it to our homes.
And now do that for vinyl records, Leo.
The reason this is going away pretty quickly is it's expensive.
Yeah,
it's expensive,
it's slow.
Right?
And it's not better.
And it kills the environment.
And it's not better in any way, shape, or form.
You know where I've been reading a lot of news actually recently? This guy right here.
Oh, he likes his new Kindle. No, I haven't seen this yet. It's smaller, isn't it?
Look how tiny
that
thing is.
It's a little smaller. Now, the screen's the same size as it was, but the bezel is smaller.
Isn't that nice?
It's more elegant.
Find yourself clicking the sides by accident?
Not yet. No, I've...
I might have to get one of those. That's pretty nice.
$139.
I know. That's the one without 3G, but you don't feel like
I got the 3G one.
So that's $189.
And how much longer is it going to be that it's going to be $139? I mean, the cost has already come down from around $400, right?
Exactly.
In 2 more years, that thing's going to be $40.
In two more years, Amazon will give it to you as long as you buy 4 books.
Exactly. In fact, Google's going to give away something like that and subsidize it with advertising, right?
Adam Curry is now channeling John C. Dvorak. It's an amazing thing.
Just trying to help, Leo.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, I think this is an interesting topic, actually, this new Kindle. It's
you got to see how small it is.
It's beautiful. I mean,
look at how thin that thing is.
Yeah, it's just really nice.
It should be free.
How long before, though? Okay, what's the next form factor? Roll up? What's the next thing?
I'm happy with this for a while. I don't need anything that rolls.
Tough enough you could slide it in your back pocket? You could fit. You wouldn't want to sit on it.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to sit on this.
Yeah.
Barely fit.
It needs to be a little tougher.
I don't know. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, I have to say, what's interesting, all you have to do is change something from beige to black, and it's better.
It's that much cooler.
It's the Johnny Ives principle.
You could actually still buy a beige.
Johnny Ives knows.
Change it from beige to black, and look, it's a home device.
I love iBooks. I mean, I don't know.
Do you read books?
For me. I love setting the background color to sepia, and I'm off to the races. It's
so you
great.
So you do read, but you just don't buy physical books.
Oh, I buy lots of physical books.
Oh, you do?
Tons of them. I love physical books.
Oh.
So, but, you know, it's just not that handy.
Do you read on the iPad?
I heard about a book and it was boom. I had it within seconds. Fortune's Fools about the music industry and its demise. Great book. You know, just download it immediately. It's brand new. I mean, didn't have to go anywhere.
Do you read on the iPad or on the Kindle?
I read it on my iPhone and iPad both because that syncs back and forth.
Right.
I got to tell you, the reason I got the Kindle, well, it was super cheap. I mean, $100 is not crazy. The other reason, though, is I'm sitting there on the iPad, and all of a sudden, you'll remember that you have Angry Birds behind the scenes. And you'll be sitting there reading, and I'll just jump out and start playing Angry Birds.
You are such an Angry Birds fan.
It's the best game
Would you
ever.
Please explain, because I don't, to me,
have
I don't
you played the Angry Birds?
You know, I played it many times. And now they're
doing a movie and a TV show.
They're doing an Angry Birds movie?
What's that?
What's that you got there, Robert?
Since we were talking about books, I bought this last night. It's completely hilarious. It's a book by Lane Smith, and it just makes fun of all of us digital types. So let me just page through it. And it says, here, let me move my mic.
This is a book that makes fun of digital people.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's
a book. That's going to work.
And let me just read it to you. It's a kid's book. And says, what do you have there? It's a book. And
is this from Milan?
How do you scroll down?
Is this from Milan?
It's a book.
I turned the page.
You vlog with it. No, it's a book.
Is this what you read your kids tonight?
Where's your mouse?
It's a book.
It's a book.
Hey, let's talk about Dig 4.
We'll talk about Dig 4, but first we're going to read this children's book.
My nighttime story with Scoble, actually.
Yeah. It's time for bedtime.
Can I tweet?
I tried, chat room.
Bedtime with Robert.
Bedtime with Scoble.
Everybody loves bedtime with Scoble. But meanwhile, back at Angry Birds.
Amazing podcast with Scoble.
So, okay, here's Angry Birds. By the way, just came out for webOS, so you can put it on your Palm Pre. And it's out for Android
soon. You barely played it. You haven't locked any of the special levels.
Well, okay. Let me see. Where am I right now? Poached eggs. I guess I'm on poached eggs.
Yeah.
So that's like the baby level, right?
Yeah, you're pretty
far. I can't get this one. Help me.
So I mean, you look on YouTube, and YouTube will have the...
So you shoot the bird.
And then tap again to expand. Tap. Oh, dude, redo it.
What do you mean?
Hit the pause button up upper left.
What do you mean?
When it's flying,
and then
you
go restart
in the air
like,
so
the little reef.
Apart.
There you go. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell me this. So
okay, sling back.
Sling it, and then you double tap after
I
fire?
Let go.
Wait, no, one tap. One
and tap the screen.
Now.
There. Oh, see, each bird has different.
Nobody told me that.
Yeah, now what's
awesome.
Up?
So you get 3 birds if you tap the screen.
On that one, yeah. So every bird does something different.
This.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they have less power. They have less mass. So, yo, there
Boom.
You go. Perfect.
Oh, I'm getting good.
And how do you knock that? See, now I got a congestion.
So those birds, the bluebirds, are really good at glass. So you want to aim for the glass.
Yeah. Okay, like right there. Okay, let's see.
You kind of screwed it up. But
I kind of screwed it up. It's too late.
It's a cool game.
The Angry song Birds. Is the cool thing about it.
I was sitting next to an executive at one of the major game companies, and he was playing Angry Birds.
See, how do you get that guy? Oh, I got him. But now this one's protected.
Yeah,
nothing I can do.
That's the king right there.
That's over.
Yeah.
I have to start over. This is what I've been playing this stupid level for 4 weeks. Of course, now that I know the double tap, maybe I'll get better at it. 4 freaking weeks. I'm going back to my farm. You guys are boring.
I got my farm.
You had a farm. What happened to your farm, Kevin?
I get tired of those farm games after a while. There's just enough hoeing, and I'm tired of hoeing.
Kevin's tired of hoeing. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a mispronunciation error. So, Dig 4. You've been taking a lot. You know, we've talked about Dig 4 before. You debuted it here, really thrilled. Well, it wasn't really my idea, but I like the change. The idea being that, of course, you can continue to follow everybody, but if you want, you can also follow people that you know, as in Twitter, and constrain your news that way.
Right. So just to give everyone a little background on that feature, we've had that feature forever, for the last 3 years.
Oh, I didn't even know
it. It was just tucked away.
Yeah.
Like there was a friending, you could go and follow someone. We didn't call it following. We called it to add them as a friend.
Right.
And then you would get their digs and see all their comments and everything. But it was like a hidden feature.
Right.
So the main reason we made My News the new default is that the upcoming section where people would actually dig stories to get them on the homepage was used by a very, very small amount of people.
And so, they were gaming it, weren't they?
Well, there was a lot of spam in there. There was just a bunch of crap that was going on in there that, you know, we looked at that and we said, okay, we have, you know, it was less than 1% of the audience was actually going into upcoming. It was less than 0.5% actually that were going in there. And so, you know, how can we get, you know, when you dig a story, how can we push that out to your friends and the people that you know so that we can help spread the message? Because I was digging great content, but no one would see it.
Right. I want to follow Kevin Rose. I want to follow Robert Scoble.
Right.
So, that's who I want to see.
So basically what we tried to do is make that the new default view. And so what we did is we created a directory of users. And this directory, some of the people out on the internet have said, like, it's clear the publishers are paying you for this. And we've never taken a single dollar from any publisher.
I'm in that directory. Like, you didn't pay me for that.
You didn't pay us for that.
No.
So basically, what we tried to do is, like, okay, what is the most popular content on Dig? We reached out to some publishers, to some wacky sites like, you know, The Oatmeal, The Onion, Scobalizer, Leo. Adam, I'll add you to the list if you want to be. But essentially, what we're trying to do is create a directory of interesting people and tastemakers that you might want to follow to find good content, right?
So, Leo, there's news breaking on Dig right now. I just dug an article that says Google is in talks with major studios to rent movies via YouTube.
Oh.
And so if you're following me, I dug that. So you'll see that on your Dig screen.
Cool. Right. So that would be on your right at the top of your news when you log into Dig if you're following Scobalizer.
Cool.
So, but here's the issue, though. There's a couple problems. We've had a lot of feedback that's come in. And so what we're trying to do is basically spend the next week and look at the stats, look at the usage, look at the feedback, and figure out which things we need to fix. Because every time we do a release, there's always something that we have to fix. The promotion algorithm is clearly broken. It's not looking at enough diversity rules that we've had in the past. So we're trying to fix that.
Is that one of the things people complain about?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had a day where we had probably 10 or 15 stories from Mashable on there. And so Mashable went out and said to their audience, like, everyone sign up for our, you know, sign up for our new Dig account, follow us, dig our stories. And the audience did that. And we used to have this this little piece of the algorithm that would go out and make sure that there was enough digging diversity in a story before we promoted it.
Mm-hmm.
That is no longer working on the new Dig. And so we promoted a bunch of Mashable stories, like a bunch in a row, which we've never done before. So that's coming back. We're going to fix that. The other stuff is we want to bring back upcoming, because if there's some people that really are passionate about it, they care about it, like, sure, we can add that back. That's no problem. But the big one is really we want to make sure that that directory of users that we're presenting to you is not just a list that we pick at Dig, not just something that, you know, a handful of people sit around a table and say who should be first, who should be second, but really that it's powered by the users. So what you'll see in the future is that everyone will be in the directory. Every single user of Dig will be listed in the directory. And you'll be ranked based on how good of a digger you are. So how good you are at finding cool content. So when you go to the tech section, if you are one of the best tech diggers, meaning your content's always being dug by a bunch of other people that are into tech, you'll be being ranked high. So that means that, you know, that's not going to be a major corporation or organization. It's going to be an individual.
Well, if it
that's
is,
really
it's because people voted on it.
Exactly. I mean, if it is Engadget, it's Engadget because they right. have good stories, right? Or if it's you, it's you. It's basically, but it's going to be fair and open to everyone. And I think, you know, honestly, looking at the feedback, that's a big issue that I absolutely think that we screwed up on. Like, we should have had it that way from day one. But, you know, it's going to take... The first thing we have to do is stabilize the site because we've been getting a lot of broken wagons for a while now.
Like that. Instead of the fail whale, you have a wagon whose axles busted. Yeah,
a broken wagon. But
hey,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've never really used Dig. I did sign up for the Dig 4 beta a couple of weeks ago when you were on the show, and you've talked about Dig a lot. And I have no dog in the hunt, but this being This Week in Tech, I'd like to ask you the question, which I think is the elephant in the room, which is a really tough one, and just take it as a journalistic question.
Please
and nothing
do.
Else.
Hit me.
I would say that the some of the vibe that's out there, and I may be wrong, but that's what I'm feeling and hearing, is Twitter came in and ate Dig's lunch. How would you respond to that?
I think that Dig is a very different use case. Not very different, but it's slightly different. Like when you go to Twitter... I'll give you an example. Like we have Tony Hawk is one of our suggested users on the Dig profiles, and also he's a suggested Twitter user. If you go out and you follow him on both services, you're going to get, you know, his links and everything that he's talking about. You know, maybe he's dropping his kids off at the park or whatever it may be on Twitter. On Dig, it's all about the links. It's only the curated content that you're finding on the web that you're bringing, that you're digging, that you're spreading with your audience. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a room for everyone to play nicely together. You have Facebook, which is, you know, a combination of things that your friends are liking, you know, profile pictures have changed with your friends, new relationship statuses, things like this, which is put into an algorithm. They spit out a page they think you'll like, right? You don't get everything. You get a mixture of certain things. Twitter is everything. So it's the raw feed, much in the same way that Dig is a raw feed. You get everything in the, as it's being dug, presented in your My News. But with Dig, we said, okay, we've always been about the links. That's one thing that we're good at is servicing, you know, cool content. Why not just, we want to cut out all the other crap and just make it just about that raw feed. So, you know, I don't think that, I mean, of course, yes, Twitter has taken some of our traffic. There's no doubt about it, Twitter and Facebook. I don't think that it's not like it's one of these things where I believe that Twitter is the death of Dig. I mean, we still are a very profitable, healthy business just sitting there doing what we do best, you know? So, unless they get into like the link aggregation game where they create a zeitgeist of information where you look at a page and you say, okay, aside from trending topics, here is the best stuff on tea or whatever it may be, any type of vertical. That's kind of where we're taking things going forward. So actually, let me explain that a little bit better. So the way you look at Dig today, you think, you know, diggers have always thought, okay, it's all about that front page of news. When you go there, it's like the zeitgeist of what's happened in the last 24 hours. Where we plan to take it is that, you know, we want to create this directory where you can come in and say, these are my interests. You can come and say, I'm into rock climbing, I'm into tea, I'm into whatever it may be. And when you do that, we want to start monitoring how good you are at digging and finding quality content in those verticals, right? So we want to build verticals of content based on your interests, based on your digs, and then create a leaderboard and create tastemakers in those verticals. So a great example is I created a Twitter directory called WeFollow, and a little over, right around 1 million people have added themselves to this Twitter directory.
Great, I think a great solution, yeah.
And they've tagged themselves all these different terms, and right now, in the WeFollow directory, there's 900 people that have tagged themselves under the word knitting. Like knitters that are really passionate about
care.
Knitting,
they
right?
They care deeply.
They care deeply about knitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're trying to do at Dig is, you know, okay, let's follow that same model, and how can we build out verticals where we can get these super uber passionate people about a given topic into these verticals to participate, to gain rank and have, like, you know, reputation in these areas. And then the best of the best will make it to the front page, and that's the front page of the top news section of Dig. So if you wonder, you know, a lot of users say, well, why have you created this My News? Well, we want this My News experience to be a really personalized version of Dig, and it's not just about big media. It's about following tastemakers. It will be about defining, you know, the, your interests, and then eventually, hopefully, creating a really cool customized news page that you'll want to consume daily.
So well, I'd love to be in there under apps. Hey, Leo, you got the chroma key.
I got
working.
The chroma That's key. Awesome. You're now in Dig. You wanted to be in Dig. You're in Dig, baby. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Kevin, on one thing for sure. If you're a profitable business and making money, I think that's a thing that the Twitter has not actually been able to do successfully, or seemingly have not. They haven't come out with a real business model, and that's on ads primarily.
Adam, I disagree. Twitter's selling news feeds to Google and Microsoft for tens of millions of dollars.
They're making some money now. Okay. They're not monetizing with ads particularly well. I mean, they have ads.
And they're integrating with them. I'm sure there's lots of licensing fees. They're tonight, is it the Emmys, I think, are doing something with Twitter. And I'm sure they're making money that way. Sure. But
they got the cachet, don't they? That's that's one of the problems with tech press is that the coverage in the tech press is all about name and very little about viability, users, anything. It's about Lady Gaga.
You know, if market share mattered, we'd all be using Nokia phones.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about the Emmys. They're coming up tonight in just a second, and about their social media strategy. Are they just hopping on the bandwagon, or is this something real that's happening? But first, let's talk a little bit.
I'm looking
about
for a new car.
Are you? Do you happen to be looking for a new car? Because I got something for you. Let me just tell you a little bit about my friends.
I can't afford a really expensive
one. Oh, you want a Fiesta.
One,
that's what I could just see Adam
driving.
Hey,
that would look good on me,
wouldn't
it?
I could just see you driving a Fiesta, Adam Curry. I got
to
find
I really don't care. I had a smart car in Amsterdam. I loved it to death.
Well,
it was
great. 40 miles to the gallon on a gas engine is pretty darn good. That's what the Fiesta's getting highway. It's got an EcoBoost engine. These are the new engines Ford's putting in.
How does that work, the EcoBoost? What does that do?
Well, I'll give you an example. And this might be the car for you, is the Taurus SHO. It's got a V6 EcoBoost with 365 horsepower. That's about the V8.
Wow.
Yeah, it's V8 horsepower, but it's very fuel efficient. The Ford Fiesta, same idea. Fuel efficiency number one, but performance is right in there. We had a great time. We went to Dearborn, Michigan to see the incredible Rouge plant. And watch them build these Ford cars and trucks. They've been doing it since the turn of the century, going back.
And I recommend, if you're going to buy a car, buy an American car.
Really?
You're Mr.
Global.
American car.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
I like hearing
we need to build something.
I like hearing that.
No, I'm serious. Does this come with that Sync stuff with the high-tech
audio? I'm a big fan
audio?
Of that. Have you ever used Sync? Boy, that is nice.
I've heard you talk about it.
I love it. You got to get it. You got to get. Well, look, if you go test drive a Ford show or the Fiesta, yes, it's the Sync is in there, and you'll see the hands-free calling and the 911.
Did you really
assist.
Get a Mustang?
Look, it's right out there.
Is
see
this?
That's my car.
Nice.
Isn't
red.
That nice? Oh, it's sweet.
You know the
I'll
story about the
ride.
Guy rolled up in a Fiesta, the new Fiesta at the gas station?
No.
And he was showing off his he was showing off the Sync and all that stuff because he had the option in there.
Yeah.
And it was a full service. So the attendant is like, wow, and he's showing all this stuff. And you know the guy reaches in his pocket to pay, and he pulls out some change, and he has a golf tee.
Yeah.
And the guy says, what's that? He says, oh, that's to put my balls on when I drive. And the guy says, wow, these Ford guys, they think of everything, don't they?
I could just tell that was coming. Ford Fiesta.
I'll be here all week, everybody.
Thank you very much. Look at this. Starting MSRP, if you go to the Ford Fiesta website, is very affordable. Even you could afford this one, Adam.
This one right here.
Right
How
there.
How much is that a month?
That's, I don't know. It's $13,320 according to Ford. $227 a month and with the 40
miles.
Will
they give me credit if I have no credit history?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not doing an ad for a dealer here, dude.
Oh, sorry.
Go to Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealers. Take a look at the Ford Fiesta, an incredible car with 40 miles per gallon EPA estimate. There is no more fuel-efficient compact car, and there's so much more to make the Fiesta really great, including that amazing Ford Sync. Give it a try. And thank you to Ford for bringing us out to Dearborn. And they have that plant. They have a green roof. It's got sedum on the roof. Sedum's like a succulent. And I mean, it's so cool. It keeps the facility cooler. You go inside, and it's nice and cool in there. But it's very light and airy. Really neat what they've done. Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. Drive one this week at a Ford dealer near you, the Fiesta.
Buy American, everybody.
I'm with you, actually, Adam. It sounds like a little jingoistic, but you're right. We got to build something.
Yeah, I mean, all we build is stuff that kills people. So let's build something that drives people around. You know, that's we need manufacturing in this country. That's the true way to get something going again.
You know,
we
need it. That was one of the neat things about going to Dearborn is to see what was the state of the art 20th century
technology is making its way into the 21st century, and they're really doing some neat stuff. It's kind of mind-boggling. Ben Hu, you must know Ben, the I Can Has Cheeseburger guy. He tweeted that he wanted to buy Reddit. And Reddit responded. I love the idea. Ben Hu runs a cheeseburger network, and he said, Condé Nast, I'm publicly offering to buy Reddit. It's one of the best communities I've seen on the internet. I also believe Reddit would benefit from more resources and less corporate interference. We can offer all of the above. Is this just a publicity ploy? Ben's good at this. Publicity ploy, or did he really seriously?
Yeah, I don't know how much they would sell it for.
The Reddit guy responded and said, you can't afford it. I don't think it's for sale. What is Condé Nast doing with something like Reddit?
I don't know. I mean, they bought it here a couple of years ago, and essentially it's
unchanged.
Yeah, they haven't really – I don't think they've given them any funding. I know the Reddit guys came over to the Dig offices here a couple of weeks ago. I was out, and I missed them, but there's only like four or five guys working on the project. It's a relatively small team, so it's too bad. I think that Reddit's an awesome site, and they could use some additional help, so I wish that kind of –
You don't harbor any hostility against them for kind of copying Dig?
No, I think that, you know – It's a unique community. It's a great community. They have different content on there. There's room for, you know, people were comparing us to Delicious when we first got started, right, to, gosh, there's been a whole series of different clones and other sites out there. So it's really where, at the end of the day, you really what type of community you like and want to participate in. So I don't know. I don't feel like they're really good guys.
What I feel like is that there should be some interoperativity ultimately between everybody, and there should be this kind of flow of information. I don't like silos. That makes me nervous. Do you believe that standards are ultimately a good thing for Dig, or does it take business away from you?
I don't know that we've ever been opposed to any type of standard. Yeah. There hasn't been really one proposed in kind of the social news space.
There isn't anything in that space, no.
If there was,
but I look at Twitter, they obviously don't want interoperability. They want to silo that data. That's their value.
It's a lot of sites' value. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Facebook would not embrace open. What was the Google's initiative? Open social.
Open social. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Google kept pushing on Facebook, like,
right,
"Hey,
right,
you know, embrace open social," and it just didn't happen.
They did their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, Zuck is he open to the idea of interoperability, or would he like to own it all?
Oh, that's a good question. You'd have to ask him that. I've never personally asked him that question, so I don't know.
He's not going to tell the truth.
We should have him come on the show.
If you could help me get Mark Zuckerberg on the show, I'd be nice. I rejoined Facebook.
You should totally. I'll reach out to him.
We
maybe can both come out and.
It'd be really fun. Wouldn't that be fun? I'd love to do that. Speaking of Farmville, and anybody, you like that segue?
Good one, Leo.
Speaking of Farmville,
they put a farm behind me. Put a farm behind.
I'll find one. I'll find you a farm.
I'm sure Leo's got a farm or two.
How'd you know, Dwight? Do I look like a farmer to you?
Just intuition, you know, journalist's intuition.
Yeah.
I can't get into that. I've tried Farmville, and I get, you know, a little bit into it, and I think I fall asleep.
Get ready for this. This is an article that just came out in on CNET. Virtual farm games absorb real money and real lives. CNET, they're talking about Farmville, which is, of course, on the iPhone as well as Facebook. They just did an iPhone version. 63 million active users, each spending an average of 15 minutes a day on the game, according to Zynga.
How does that compare to, like, World of Warcraft?
Oh, it's a lot less than World of Warcraft. But yeah, there are the outliers. There's a woman they found. CNET found a woman they call Katie S. She told CNET her daily Farmville routine consists of waking up at 10 a.m. and proceeding to play the game until well past midnight. Although her sessions can go much longer, she says, I've been known to stay up all night until at least 5 or 6 a.m. if a new feature is out, and I'm excited about it. She says she spends about $2,000, $100 a month so far on Farmville.
Oh, yeah.
She's reached a way they found her. She's at a level 111.
This is my mom.
My mom does that too.
My mom's at like level 75 on that cafe world where they have to cook.
Yeah. And I don't like that because I have a friend on Facebook, Dr. Mom, who shall remain nameless, who keeps sending me like, I just figured out how to make loco moco.
And it's like, please.
My mom has a separate account using my dad's Facebook account so she can go and have a separate shop only so she can gift herself things.
Oh, that's the trick.
It's ridiculous.
That's the trick. Here, I've put you...
This really just shows how empty and vapid people's lives are. It's really a sad state.
Hey, it's my mom.
Sorry, dude.
What does your mom do? Does she play any games? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Hey, maybe she wouldn't be if she played more Farmville. NG Moco, We Rule, that's what I play, says that We Rule has 3 million registered users who have spent 2.2 billion minutes harvesting crops, erecting buildings, and sending jobs to fellow players. The average time spent on We Rule, 45 minutes per user per day, three times the Farmville. And, I mean, there are some people who spent a lot of money on virtual points. There's now a website created by a guy named Ryan G. Van Cleve called WowDetox.com for people who are World of Warcraft addicts. I mean, there are people who cannot stop playing these games.
Have you spent any money on Farmville or anything like that? We Rule. Come on.
I spent a little bit. I try not to because, you know, it's really, if you're patient, you can do everything.
Yeah.
Don't you have a psychology show on the Twit Network, Leo?
I need some help, please. Help
but seriously, I mean, I think that people inherently really were kind of wired and geared towards building things. And since why don't these people go out and build cars or build something productive? I mean, clearly there's energy and people want to spend time doing something. I just find it unfortunate that we're building virtual farms.
Yeah, but if it's making them happy, does it really matter?
Look, Adam, this is my happy land.
That's his happy land.
Look, look, it's you can play it. Just turn around. It's right over your left shoulder there. Here's my castle. Here's my castle. Look, I have dragons and witches.
I mean, this is like a hobby, though. You got to think of it like that, too. I mean, some people like gardening.
It's like putting ships in a bottle.
Yeah, but I think gardening would be better than
the
this.
The thing about gardening is you get fruit.
Why would gardening
fruit
be better than that?
Because you get fruit. I mean, you get vegetables.
Well, gardening,
you can eat.
There's
you
skin
eat
cancer problems.
Well, I don't have skin cancer problems.
Being out in the sun too long.
No, that's true. This is very much safer. Look, I just collected taxes on that little blue building.
Yeah, this is just something people enjoy this. Let them enjoy it. You know?
Well, it's one thing if you play it 15 minutes a day.
My sister just sent me a text message saying that my mom's at level 108 on Cafe World.
Oh, she's catching
World
up with KDS.
I guarantee she won't admit it, but I know my mom's spending like half a grand a month on this.
Well, that's what worries me, is there are people spending a lot of money on it.
By the way, Leo, this is a digression, but it looks like your Buzz Can Tweet just came unstuck.
Uh-oh.
There's just a
I hate
slew
that idea
of old tweets that have shown
that
up.
That sucks.
Yay!
So it's all there.
I'm going to hear about that. Buzz Can Tweet barfed.
You popped your buzz cherry, Leo.
Buzz can screw Leo is what Buzz can do.
Leo, I love this world because people on Twitter are some people are abusing me and some people are sending me links to gaming to Jane McGonigal's YouTube Twitter TED Talk.
Oh, yeah. You know, she was at Food Camp, Jane McGonigal.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was very interesting.
You were in her talk, right?
I was. I don't. Can we reveal what she talked about or is it still secret?
I don't know. I forget what I can talk about.
She
when
said,
I
know. I know. If you tell me something, figure I'm going to say it because I can't. I'm too. My brain doesn't work anymore. I'm old and I'm playing too much We Rule. She said, I don't know if this is true or not, but she said, the future is in secrets. We've gone so far into this, you know, there's no privacy, no secrets anymore. You and I, Robert, are the poster children for this.
Absolutely.
That people, she says, psychologically, Jane's interesting. She says, psychologically, people are stimulated by both the act of keeping a secret and by telling a secret. And if you tell somebody a secret, it is a bond. There is endorphins are released. And she says the future is in creating, telling, keeping secrets.
That's true.
Interesting.
I mean, there are secrets I have. I
tell
have a lot
one
of companies who've shown me stuff that
yeah,
I
tell us
can't
one, Robert. Come on,
about.
Come on, Robert. Tell us a secret.
Well,
come
I
on,
can't
Robert
talk about it right
come on,
now.
Robert. Tell us
tell
a secret.
About Path.
Come on,
tell us about Path.
What's
Path? Tell us about Path, Kevin Rose.
What's Path? Tell us what is Path. What is
I
Path?
Can't talk about it.
What
Skull
is Path?
Skull knows what the Path is.
It's all a big secret. It's Dave Morin's new company, and it looks pretty cool, but I can't talk about it because
you guys see it? Suck. Dave Morin, formerly of Facebook.
Yeah.
He's not on Facebook anymore?
No,
the people who've shown it to me, I want to keep them.
Oh, you saw it.
I saw it for a few microseconds.
No, not for me.
Not from you.
Have you seen it, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. I have it on my phone right here. You want to see it?
Yeah. I can see it. I won't tell anybody. You know how good I am at keeping secrets. See, now Kevin and I would have a bond. Go ahead. Just do it. And then we'll, and you'll see, we'll have a bond. It'll be, this is a test of Jane's theory.
Not here. Not live.
Not live. You, Kevin, is actually very good at keeping secrets. I think that's probably necessary, both as an entrepreneur and as somebody at Dig, right? But I don't know how you do it, because when you're getting drunk at Dig Nation, isn't it kind of hard to not, like, blab?
We don't get as drunk as we used to. Yeah. But, yes, it is hard.
I mean, it's hard for me, and I'm not even drunk.
You've had a half a beer.
Half is
and
all.
You got a bottle of wine sitting
it's
next
good.
To you.
Yeah, but I haven't opened it. This is a, thank you for bringing this. This is Sierra Nevada Tumbler.
It's so lovely.
Yes. It's quite delicious. It's a lovely vintage from October.
Oscar.
You know, I did drive a Ford Flex into the Ford Fiesta at the Ford test track.
Awesome.
They actually, oh, this is scary.
Oh.
That's really scary. That wasn't my intent. There we go.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Adam.
Fun with the green screen. I'm sorry, Adam. Let me fix that.
Yeah, I froze there.
Did you? Now back, you're in your beautiful beach. Enjoy the beach, Adam.
Yes, I'm enjoying
the relax.
Very nice,
relaxing beach. Let me go on. There must be some more news here before we did.
How about this Google calling stuff that you couldn't get on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm the only one in the country that can't use it. But Google announced
I saved this story for you, Leo.
Thank you. Please. On Wednesday, Google announced that they were going to put free voice calling in Gmail. This is using a Google Chat, Google Talk. You do have to download a plugin that gives you video and voice. And all of a sudden, in your chat list is a phone call item, and you click it, and you can dial any number in the U.S. and Canada for free. They say free at least through the end of the year. Why is Google doing that?
Well, this is kind of interesting, and John Dvorak, who I do No Agenda with, got really angry with me today because I said I got a story, but I'm holding it back. I'm keeping it for Twit.
take that, Dvorak.
Yeah, he was like, So in 2006, Peter Norvig, I think his name is, he's the director of research at Google.
Yep.
In 2006, he said, Google is working, and in fact, I have the whole system here, PDF. Google is working on a system that listens to what your TV is playing in the background and then serves you relevant adverts. He literally says, these ideas will eventually show up in real Google products sooner rather than later. And so I'm wondering, is this one of those products where Google, because it's pretty seamless. I don't remember installing anything. And even if I have Flash turned off, it still works. And it doesn't ask me, you know, like if you go to porn sites and you want to do your webcam, it says, are you sure you want to share your video? I mean, I'm reliably informed about that.
Google, remember, Google had a patent on watching your mouse move.
Right. So I'm just wondering, you know, the technology is amazing. What goes into it? It takes 5-second snippets, and it actually does the analytics on your PC and sends the analytics off to Google. Which, of course, you know, they'd never listen into your conversation.
They don't need to any more than they'd read your email. They just analyze it, right?
Right, they analyze it, and that's actually apparently happening on your computer. So I'm wondering.
So do you know that this is happening with Google Voice?
I don't know if it's happening, but here's the director of research saying it's going to show up in Google products, and here we are. My microphone is now active, so I'm curious.
Well,
if
you know, I would credit that because after all, again, Google told us this when they put out. Remember that Goog 411, and you would get it was free 411 service, and they later told us. Oh, you know what we did? we used the Google 411 to improve our voice recognition. And one of the reasons Google's voice recognition in Android is so good is because they learned a lot by getting a lot of voice samples from Google 411 and corrections from Google 411. Now, that's not using what you're saying.
Well, I'll paste this PDF from Google Research into the chat room so people can take a look at it. It's pretty amazing what they did. And this is from, I think 2006 when they posted this online.
It's pretty cool technology, but the whole idea is to listen to what television show you're watching and then serve up ads on your, I guess, if you're surfing or anywhere you are. And in the future, maybe on Google TV. All I know is the guy said it's going to show up in real Google products, and here's one that might be applicable. I have no idea what's happening under the hood.
So you're saying that that what they would do is turn the microphone on your computer now that you've enabled that, and have it on not just when you're in phone calls, but all the time.
Possibly, yeah. Well, it's Google said they would do it, so... Is this my question?
Would require a change in the
EULA
in the terms of service. Yeah.
Has anybody read the terms of service?
Pretty easy to install. So I mean, even though you failed on the install, Leo, but everyone's like, oh yeah, cool, Google. I'll just install
Wait a minute. I did not fail on the install. It never
they
turned
failed
up.
You.
No, it
they,
failed me.
No, they failed offered. You. They failed you.
It
I agree.
Never
but
offered it.
But, you know, this is a big deal. I mean, you're now activating my microphone and potentially camera, and I think it's I'd like some security people to just check it. Would somebody tell me
who has this? Because I am the only man in America who doesn't. Does it ask permission when you make the call? Does it say I'm going to turn on the microphone?
No. I disabled Flash on my Safari browser.
It's not using Flash.
And then,
it doesn't use Flash.
Sorry,
it's not using Flash.
Yeah. It does. Well. I think it does use Flash.
No, it uses its own plugin. It has a plugin.
It has its own. That's why you download.
I don't have the plugin on Safari. What plugin is it?
Adam, is because at some point you probably did a video chat. They've had a video chat,
and you need that plugin
while where it uses that.
But I don't have. But how do I deinstall it then?
It's an extension, and you'll see that you have it.
No, I don't have an extension for it here. I looked in Safari. I'm looking right here. The only extension I have is. The click to Flash to disable Flash on Safari. There's no other extension in here.
You never added Google Voice and video chat to your Google Talk.
If I did, how can I remove it?
I just had to install it for the first time. It wasn't working unless I installed it. But now that I've installed it, it says call phone on here, and then it pops up.
You have to install that. And that's why it's not using Flash. It's using its own. But that's, you know what? That doesn't make a difference with your argument one way or the other. It's whether it's using Flash or another technology.
I'd like to uninstall it, and there's no way to do it.
Oh, I'm sure there's a way to do it.
Well, so okay. What are we scared of here? That they might
turn the microphone on.
When my mic's not on right now.
How do you know?
Well, I would. Google's not going to do that.
You sure?
Oh no, Google would never do that.
Do you really think they're going to turn the mic on?
Here's the deal.
And just listen.
Yes, because they're doing it.
What?
Wait a minute. They're doing it to your email, right? They scan your email for ad links, right?
But they tell you they do that. They're telling you to.
But what
do
if
that.
They? But what if there's no human?
They tell you.
What if there's no human listening? It's just algorithmically looking at words that you speak.
Leo. If Google were to do that without disclosing it, and it would be discovered, that would be the end of its business.
Right, exactly.
It's not worth the risk for them to do that.
That's it.
They said they stated they would do it. We should just check. There's nothing wrong with checking. I'm of good belief, but maybe we should just check it. Could someone please check?
I
don't have an extension to look at or turn off.
I will have someone check.
You've got this week in security.
Yeah, ask Steve Gibson. Security.
That's the guy.
That's interesting. You know, they
saved
they
that
may
one
just,
for you, Leo.
They may just want to be in telephony. They may just say, well, look, we just want to, you know, have people use. Look, they attach it to Gmail for a reason. Gmail's their biggest product right now after search. More people will see it because of it. Same reason they attach Buzz to Gmail, right? No comment. Anybody want to say anything? Scoble, do you think this is crazy?
No, I'm over privacy anyways. I really don't care.
Let you,
Scoble
you,
wants it turned on.
You say, let him listen.
Turn it on, baby.
That's how cutting edge Robert Scoble is. Like, he wants his mic turned on. That's amazing. That's social.
Wait a minute.
It's in library internet plugins is where I need to look.
You know what? I don't know what just happened to my Twitter feed, but none of these are my tweets. Attention, couch potatoes, walking boost, spraying connectivity. That's not me. Shooter kills 5, injures 1. What is this?
What are you?
That's from
at?
Buzz Could Tweet, though, right?
Buzz is putting crap in my feed. Oh, it's from Dig. It's from Dig.
Whoops. It's, oh, because you added your Dig account to Google?
Oh.
We don't push things into into Google. You must have added your dig account to Google.
I didn't add my dig account to Google. Google must have added my dig account to Google. Holy camoly. And it's not stories I'm digging.
It must be stories you're digging.
It's not. I would dig why California won't legalize pot.
Probably.
I would dig 36 die as Ecuadorian bus runs off road overturns. Cool. I would dig thousands rally in Hong Kong to protest Manila hostage deaths. This isn't me.
You're retweeting No Agenda.
Is this from No Agenda?
I have no idea. I'm just making it up.
I think Google's barfing on me again. I think this is coming from Google. Google's barfing on me.
Yeah, so right here from Dig.
I do not have
it. It says from Dig.
WebEx plugin, Move Media plugin, and Double Twist Web plugin, whatever that is.
Okay, well,
we're debugging Google here.
Double conspiracy theory. 7 connected sites. Let me see what I'm connected to. I don't think I connected.
Yeah, you connected your Dig. There it is at the bottom.
Oh, there it is. So I didn't do that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, it's all through Dig, yeah.
Remove site.
I think that's a new term, though, Leo. Google barf. I got Google barf.
So why is Google pulling in your Dig links? That doesn't. Oh, they're kind of friend feeding it like that, huh? They're trying to be like friend feed.
I just took it out of Google. I never put it into Google. I'm telling you, Buzz is buggy. This, you know, Buzz had a big bug where it, you know, if you were one of my followers on Google Buzz and you deleted your Google account, all of a sudden nobody'd see my buzzes. It took them 5 days to find that one. I'm going to quit Google.
You know what, Leo? They heard you complain.
They're going to quit the Google. They heard you, not me. They heard you talk about their secret, super secret plan to wiretap everyone in the world. And they said, we've got to get him. How do we get him? We get him through Laporte.
Right, I think they just heard you and like, oh, well, we have a problem in Sector 4. Seems like Buzz is not working. Buzz, we've got to switch that on.
Buzz,
check
not
that user.
Working. Checking user. Algorithmically, we will prove Leo wrong.
Let's take a break. I am exhausted.
It's a long show, man.
Yeah, is it over?
It's awesome.
It's not over yet.
No, I love it. I mean, we can keep going. I'm fine. I'm digging it.
How long is No Agenda? It's like 2 hours.
Does Twit ever end?
2 hours. Yeah, we do 2 hours.
This is shorter than No Agenda.
I don't think Twit ever ends, man. It just keeps going.
No, all I do is I put up a little thing here like this. I put this up, and I say cut there, and that's a show. That's a show right there. That's a show.
That's it. We're done.
And then they start another one after I put that up.
You have now Carbonite pocket sound.
Now, editors, don't cut that one. Okay, leave this in, editor.
Take that off.
No, leave that in. Now, see, I'm really confusing them. Now, leave that one in. The editors are going.
The abuse doesn't end. I'm being called arrogant by people all over the world right now on Twitter.
Why are you arrogant? You haven't said a word.
I don't know. What is it? They're making fun of me because I hold things up. You know.
You haven't said a thing on this show. Okay, you want to be arrogant? In a moment, Robert Scoble will explain why TechCrunch thinks there are too few women in tech, and it's their fault. You want to take that one, Robert?
Sure.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, that's coming up in just a bit. But first, a quick word from our friends at Citrix. They are the folks who do Go to Assist. We use this. I don't know if you remember this, Kevin. We use this on the screensavers from time to time to assist people with their problems on their computer. They've come a long way, baby. The new Go to Assist Express is faster, easier to use, and a great way to fix problems on Macs or PCs. Dan Hendricks is in the studio. He's our wonderful chat moderator. How many years have you been moderating chat for us, Dan? For free, I might add. 6.5 years. We have not paid him one penny.
Wow.
And at this point, we're damn well not paying him. He's free. You set a precedent, Dan. Oh, he'll keep doing it for free. Just keep letting him. No, I think we're going to take care of you because you do a great job in that chat room. So Dan's in IT. And you know, the worst thing is that phone call where you got to walk somebody through something. It's so much easier. In fact, sometimes you're tempted to just get in the car and drive over to the site, fly to the site, anything but click start. Okay, go to the accessories. I can't take this anymore.
How about this scenario, Leo? I'm sure you have the same that I have, and Kevin has it, and Robert, and Dwight. I'm sure we all have the same problem. When you know something about computers, you can configure stuff. You're kind of the go-to guy for your family, your friends.
Exactly.
And they're always calling you. It's like, hey, you know, my email. And you're literally trying to help the stewardess land the 747,
exactly.
You know, on the phone. It's like, oh, you do all this. And when you, I think the easiest thing, this would be a great Christmas gift, basically. Give all of your friends and family a go-to assist account, and then it'll save you hours of time a month.
You know what you could do, Adam Curry? You could actually get 30 days free sign up, and then you do it and then quit.
I shouldn't tell people that.
So wait until something breaks.
Yeah.
Then call
them. Do it all.
No. I think this is a very, it's a valuable service. This is really, really good. It's like having a tech right there in your computer. They can remote control your screen. They can really fix problems. I think this is the future of great services is people on the other end. I love it. I think it's good. It's gotoassist.com/twit.
Adam is such a great old radio guy. He just like goes with it.
I love it. Man. I love doing this. Hey, everybody. Hey, Leo. Back to you, Leo.
We got
to
get the mattress discounters on here. We could do a whole
HTRES, drop the last S for saving.
They've built in features for the tech support professional, 8 sessions at once, remote, unattended remote access. So if your clients say, yeah, you can have access to the computer, you don't have to wait around till they show up. You can fix it without their help. You can drag and drop files from your computer to theirs. So if you've got a patch or a fix, it's very easy. Mac or PC. You can support a Mac from a PC, a PC from a Mac to Mac, PC to PC. It's just really great. Try it right now. 30 days free. Gotoassist.com/twit. Tell them Adam Curry sent you.
That's right. You'll get 30 days free. Gotoassist.com/twit. Tell them your friends at Twit said, hey.
Hey. Did you ever, Adam, when you see, you were always big time radio, so you didn't ever have to do this. You never did the carpet store or the car dealership. Bring the kids, but, bring the old lady, bring the pin slip. Come on down. We got hot dogs and balloons for the kids.
But MTV, in the days of VJs, had billboards, and we'd have to read the billboards. So, and they were really cheesy. Be like, this, was it, or the top 20 video countdown is brought to you by Skittles. You know, and we had to read those. You know, and everybody was like, oh, I got to do the billboards, you know. Parfum de coeur. It's like, it's parfum de coeur. I remember them all. It's horrible. It stays with you. You wake up in the middle of the night, you know, Skittles.
What is the fresh maker? Was Mentos there?
Mentos, fresh maker. Yeah, we had that one too. It's brought to you by Mentos, the fresh maker.
Yeah, you had to say it that way.
Yeah, of course you did. The fresh maker.
He had like some weird Euro trash accent. It wasn't really clear what.
The fresh maker.
Yeah, but I was good at it. The fresh maker. I actually got an extra, the third, I was there for 7.5 years, but I had a contract for the first 2 years, and then the third year, they actually paid me extra to do all the billboards for MTV.
You were so good.
My voice was always there.
Were you a DJ before you went to MTV?
Yeah, my first radio station I built myself, and then my mom drove me around the block to see how far the signal would reach. And then I found the kids in the neighborhood were listening to it, so then I built a mixer, and then I got a microphone, and then for years I was practicing, trying to get my deep radio voice, and you got to talk like this, everybody, because you know, it's really, really cool, and we do it in the morning, everybody!
In the morning! Yeah! We just turned this into a morning zoo.
Let's bang on the bell. Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I think we need to do a morning show with you, Adam.
I'd love to, man. Weren't you going to do that? You're going to do a morning show?
I do. I want to do a morning show. You want to be part of it?
Hell yeah.
Would you
Hell
do it? Yeah. It would be really fun. I thought it would be a morning show for geeks. You know, so
yeah, I'd do it. Sure.
It would still be kind of fun and entertaining. Be the kind of thing you want. And my thought was, you write an alarm clock application for all the portable platforms, that's the alarm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then when you unlock it to turn off the alarm, it starts the webcast right there.
Right.
For you.
And you can take it with you out of the kitchen.
Totally.
Yeah. Make your toast.
Tune in.
You got to do that. That's a great idea.
I download that.
I just gave away my entire idea. But
no, it's good, man.
I don't have to worry. Nobody else is going to do it.
But let's get Dvorak on, too. I can't be without my buddy. I want to make sure no one gets the wrong idea here.
We will. No, we love John. No. And I've been thinking there's a number of people I want to put on this thing. It'd be really fun. Kind of a light zoo thing, but with a focus on social media, tech, bring in the
evil New World Order who are trying to kill us. That would be my part.
You could do that. You could be the conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
I like that. We should create a character for Adam.
It's me.
The Illuminati guy.
Hey, it's Illuminati guy, everybody. Let me tell you what's going on. Well,
that's Art Bell made a pretty good living doing
Hell
that.
Yeah. Coast to coast.
Coast
FM.
To coast.
I am. Yeah, it's
great. Now George Newry does it. Every once in a while, George will call me. I'll do a bit on the show. And then it's just coming up, he was abducted by aliens and now he's back. We're going to talk to
That's what always gets me. So the earthquake machine has been turned on once again. And we'll talk about that after
it's
this
so
break.
Serious.
Coast to coast.
And you kind of wonder, does he believe this? Does he actually believe this, or is he? What's going on?
Well, don't get me started.
Emmy Awards going digital. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Are you going to watch them tonight? Jimmy Fallon, your buddy Jimmy. You like Jimmy. You know Jimmy pretty well, right?
Jimmy's cool.
Has he always been pretty techie? Is that?
He's a geek. He's definitely a geek, without a doubt.
So they're asking for jokes for Jimmy. People are supposed to tweet lines. I guess
really, it's that bad. They have to have people write the jokes. Oh, jeez.
We can't afford writers, so would you please tweet?
Holy crap, Leo, did you just tweet a ton of links?
No, I'm telling you, that came out of Google, out of Dig.
But you saw what you tweeted, right?
It's garbage.
It's like you tweeted 30 times in a row.
Oh, something's going really wrong.
Look at this.
Yeah, something's really wrong.
No.
I'm just going to resign from
Leo
social media.
So here's what you need to do tonight when you watch the Emmys. Get a bottle of vodka, and the minute someone says, "We've just tallied it up. 1 billion people around the world are watching us tonight." Clap, 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 clap. That's when you drink the whole bottle of vodka. Because they always do that. And then the ratings come out the next day. It's like 6 million people watched something.
Not just
a
shot. The whole bottle.
The whole bottle. Adam doesn't believe
in half
measures.
The whole bottle in one go.
So you know what happened? Yeah. I just tweeted the entire Dig front page.
I did.
Thanks not to you. It's not your fault, Kevin. Thanks to Google Buzz, which just decided for some reason that I am Dig.
It's a feature.
No, you're tweeting this week. Twill is what you.
No. Ignore the Twill stuff.
Oh, there
Look
we go.
The
underneath
it's
that,
all
Paris
Dig
Hilton,
stuff.
New mugshot.
I didn't tweet Paris Hilton's mugshot. This is all. This is all from Dig, including the
this
Twill
is
stuff.
Epic. The people that aren't watching this show right now are like, "Wow,
what
Leo's chatty today."
What the hell?
This is great interoperability. Silos? There's no silos. It's perfect. The flow goes. Leo, exactly what you were asking for.
Leo, did you turn that on some long ago?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, you're dropping followers.
I'm really freaked out that it's going
to
do that.
This morning I was at 22400. Oh yeah, I've lost already 100 followers.
Oh, they're dropping.
Oh, 223-908. I'm dropping.
Spam. Tweet spam. He's a spammer.
100 people dropped me. It's the sound of 1,000 voices calling out in agony.
Maybe you should tweet about 6 or 7 times what happened.
Yeah, that'd help. Yeah. I give up. I'm going to.
This is why I don't like. I don't like.
Automated tweets.
I don't like automated tweets, and I don't like kind of trying to converge multiple social media. I think silos to a certain extent are good because they're a different culture in each one. And if you try to kind of blend them, there's always some kind of disconnect or context problem.
No, this is why I'm going to write The Cynic's Guide to Social Media. Everybody says that, but it's a lie.
No, it's
everybody
not a
says
lie.
Don't. Everybody says
did,
don't be a megaphone.
To Facebook is to turn off all of my tweets that are coming into Facebook. I didn't even know you could do this, by the way. If you see a tweet in Facebook, you can click the X on the status message in Facebook, and it'll give you the choice to filter out all tweets or all things of that item. And you can do that for Foursquare or for Farmville. If Kevin's playing too much
that's
Farmville,
excellent.
Farmville, you can hide everything there.
I already have people on Buzz saying, "Stop spamming, Leo."
You can go to the top of your Buzz and see which.
No, I already disconnected it. I disconnected it. And it's reconnected or something's going on. It's not. Yeah, it got reconnected.
It's broken.
It's broken.
Freaking
they said
Google
is
broken.
They said call the tech guy is what people are saying.
Yeah, that's another funny joke people like to make. Oh, no. Leo will fix it. No,
But these are the same people we trust to with our microphone.
Yeah. All right, I've had enough. I've had enough of all of you. Kevin Rose, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing beer.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for watching the last show I will ever do. Officials probe fire at proposed Tennessee mosque site. I did not tweet that. Jeez Louise.
I think you can sue him for defamation of character.
Good Lord. Kevin is at dig.com. Dignation is still on.
Yes, still on, still going strong.
And you and Alex will be doing the next one when, you know?
This week, but I've got a bunch of stuff to fix a Dig first, so I'll get down there, though, eventually.
Thank you, by the way. I think that people don't understand how responsive and committed Kevin is to listening to people. You get a lot of heat. It must be hard, but you listen.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, honestly, there's, I would say, out of the feedback we've gotten, probably 75-80% of it's really valid stuff that we're going to fix. And then there's some stuff that, you know, certain spammers are trying to hit us with and certain people that have an agenda that, you know, want certain features Like, it's funny. We had this one time where we removed the bury feature from Dig, and that was a big controversy.
Yeah, people. Well, now wasn't this though? The issue was that right wing.
So this
spammers were burying all progressive or left-wing articles.
And the other way around.
And then it got to a war. It became a war.
It became a war. And I hate this kind of stuff. But, you know, we looked into it, and the bulk of burying happening was around political stories.
Of course.
And it's like...
The most partisan, divisive topics are the ones that are going to get people doing that.
Yeah, and it's just a really nasty mess. So we got to figure out how we can potentially fix that problem with algorithms. But it's going to take a while. All I have to say is that, honestly, everyone at Dig knows the issues that we have. Just, you know, it's going to take a couple weeks to get everything ironed out, get it stable, get these features added back. So just give us some time. We'll get there.
Yeah, Kevin, I just tried to dig something, and it didn't let me dig it. So
yeah, it's another at least a week of stabilizing the site.
Why is that? Because, I mean, you're using the same servers, the same
You're not.
So it's a brand new back end. It's all Cassandra-based now. So we're out of MySQL.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And there's new bugs under certain levels of load that we didn't ever see before. And so this is stuff.
Kevin, I commend you. Doing this kind of stuff sucks. When you've got users and particularly people who rely on this and you try to progress things and change things, it's hard. It's really, really hard. I've been in that position on a smaller scale, and it's tough. It's no wonder you're drinking beer.
That's right.
Oh, he was drinking beer long before this.
Kevin, it's because you don't have enough women on your staff.
Go and look at his.
Oh, we didn't get to talk about Mike Arrington and his Linkbait post. What exactly did Mike was? I was trying to figure out what Mike was trying to say. Basically, he was saying it's not our fault. We try. We really want to have women on, but there just aren't any. Is that or it's their fault?
No,
They're not.
He knew it was a hot button in the industry.
Of course.
He loves putting his finger on things where he knows there's heat and fury. And it's been a hot button for a long time. The first programming conference I did in the 1990s, Visual Basic Programmers Insiders Technical Summit, had 425 men and two women show up. Right. And this has been a undercurrent. It comes up every year or 2 years when. Hey, there's a show that has no women on it. Somebody will write a blog post and say, there's no women on Twit. Everybody will get their, up in a bunch and we'll talk about it. And that's sort of what happened this weekend.
I think there's a very legitimate point to be made, which is if there are not many women, it's passing the buck to say it's their fault or there aren't any women.
I think it's
a two-way street, and I think that it is also very difficult for women to make it in technology. They are deprecated, they are put down. It is not an easy thing.
Absolutely, and just look at the comments that TechCrunch post is
absolutely
getting. It has like 600 comments, and a lot of them are misogynistic, really horrid stuff.
And I think it's a little reprehensible of Mike to go for the hits.
Yeah, I agree, Leo. I only have one word for Mike.
Douchebag!
And there he is, our douchebag of the day, Mike Arrington! We're going to send out the little douchebag to Mike. We got it one packaged up for him.
Wow.
That's right, Mike. His comment that...
Arrington, I didn't say anything.
End of it that maybe women are too nurturing.
Mike, wait a minute. Why is everybody so scared of Mike Arrington? Are you scared of him?
He'll rip you apart on his freaking blog.
Oh, screw him. Rip me, Mike. Right?
Deja vu.
Mike will not rip me. He's too scared of me to rip me. He's not scared of me because he doesn't care about me, but he's scared of the Twit army, and he knows that that would be a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. I think that is a huge mistake. Twit army's no joke, man.
Do not mess with the Twit army.
No,
I don't have anything against Mike. I do have something against, and I think it's very bad for the ecosystem, people who post link bait articles, because it's all about getting hits, not about real content and real discussions. This is a real subject. This is not a minor subject to cover, and to use it for link bait is a big mistake.
Yeah, and women in general. We talked about this on No Agenda this morning. There's all kinds of weirdness in media in general about women. You know, there was this summer's eve ad. You know, if you want to ask for a raise, you've got to literally smell nice down there. I'm like, oh my God. And these, I look at magazines and how you're supposed to look. And I feel very bad for what media and people like Mike Arrington are doing to women. I have an
18-year-old daughter who is very smart, who is will be, and if she wants to be, very successful in anything she wants. If she wanted to be in technology or science or math, she's going to have a much tougher road to hoe.
Tougher, yeah, absolutely.
Than if she wants to be in sociology, psychology, any of the soft subjects.
I disagree with you, Leo, because if you do go through the computer science program and you get a computer science degree, you have a lot of opportunities available to you.
Well, that's what Mike's saying. He's saying if the few women who are in it have more opportunities.
Out of the two women who showed up at my first conference, by the way, it's
a social statement. I mean, look at The View. I mean, you know, this is what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a yenta who talks about nothingness. Look at how women are portrayed in the media. This is why this happens. And if you want to go left and you want to do something a little different, that's where it's more peer pressure than anything.
Although on Criminal Minds, the main geek is a woman, right? There's examples on both sides of that fence.
And she's also hot.
It is a deep problem. I mean, and it goes back to college. And in my first year of computer science classes, there was about 40% women. Second year, 15%. It starts there. And that's why arguing it out about, getting more people on stage at conferences really isn't hitting the right problem. The right problem happens earlier.
I think I wish we weren't running out of time, but we are.
A whole different show. Yeah.
I would love to do more on this. We will all gather again. I knew that when we got this many great people in the studio, that we were going to have a great show, and I thank
you. Leo, why don't you have any women on this show?
We have a lot of women at TWIT. We have Sarah Lane. We have Becky Worley. Denise Howell. We have Kiki Sanford.
Well, I can just see the Twitterers going, hey, this is...
Well, I'll have a woman next time. I always invite at least one or two women to be on the show. We have five panelists today. That was so many that I couldn't invite any more. But I almost always invite at least one woman to be on. Look, I would like to get more people of color. I'd like to get more women. I'd like to get more diversity in general. I'm doing what I can. Many of our hosts on Twit are women. And that comes out of a commitment.
A very large percentage of your hosts. Like at least
and frankly, the people who run this company... are women, and I'm proud of that. But that's because I'm trying to be gender blind and color blind in what we do. And you're right. There's no woman on this panel, but believe me, before we take this subject on again, I will get some women on.
I knew you would answer that the right way. That's why I asked that.
You can ask tough questions, Robert. It's okay. I won't.
No, the problem is industry wide. It's not just one show or one person.
It's more than industry wide. It's science and technology wide, and it's a big waste, if you ask me. Yeah. It's a big waste of talent. And I think that to do link bait around that is, of course, on the other hand, look, he stimulated a great conversation. So maybe it wasn't completely wasted.
I don't think so. I think it's good that we talk, but we don't talk intelligently about this issue, and I don't see that happening. I mean, on the other side, women are doing all these women-only conferences now, Blogger and other things. Does that really help?
I mean, it's ghettoizing.
Here's an example of something that I saw in my career, and I've seen it happen a few times. In 2002, I did a dinner, and we made it open, so there was no, we said, if you want to come, anybody's welcome to come. And I think two women showed up, Ben and Mina Trott. Mina Trott was one, and I forget the other one. But 40 other people showed up, and they were all men. And a lot of people in that room now are the people who run Twitter. You know, Evan Williams was there. Ben and Mina Trott, who runs Six Apart, was there. Dave Weiner was there. Brad, who started LiveJournal, was there. And if you aren't there while things are taking shape, while there's some networking opportunities,
you're at a real disadvantage. Yes,
you're at a real disadvantage, and those are the people who decide, conferences and books and all sorts of things. Real powerful people now, and it's a tough problem that starts early in somebody's career, and I don't know how to switch it.
Well, this is a conversation that will go on for a long time, and I'm glad we started it, but we're not done with it, and we will talk some more.
It's been happening for 15 years, and well, longer. I mean, you look at some of the pioneering women in this industry.
I almost feel like we shouldn't be talking about it without some women on the panel, so maybe we'll defer
this. Hear, hear. Yeah. This is, you're right, Leo. This bunch is a conversation that should be had with women in the room.
Right. Bunch of guys saying, what do we know? What do we know?
We know nothing. We don't know nothing about nothing.
We're testosterone poisoned. Thank you, Kevin Rose, dig.com.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Dwight Silverman at the Houston Chronicle, blogs.cron.com/techblog. Always great to have you. Thank you so much for
being here. Thank you, Leo. Always great to be here.
And don't forget, he's got a great radio show on Pacifica in Houston.
Can I pimp my book?
Yeah. What's the book?
The book. My third book is out. It's Switching to a Mac, No Problem, from Wiley. Hit the bookstores last week. And it's a great way to, if you want to go from Windows to the Mac, it's a great way to do it.
Very good. Thank you. Look forward to seeing that. Robert Scoble is the Scobalizer. He needs no introduction. Maybe he can help me with my tweet and buzzer problems.
Well, I already buzzed on your behalf and said, hey, calm down, everybody. He's having a problem.
Yeah. And I have an alibi. I was doing a show when it happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Maybe I've been hacked. Scobalizer.com. Anything else you want to plug? Of course, you do those great videos at Building 43.
YouTube.com/Scobalizer. I just took a tour of NASA. That was awesome.
Love that stuff.
The wind tunnels. They let me go in the supersonic wind tunnel. That was cool.
We're basically copying you with a lot of the things we're doing with the Live View now.
Oh, well.
Well, you were down at South by Southwest. That was fun. Are you going to do that again in the spring? Let's do that again.
Yeah, let's do that again. Let's get it. People have been trying to get Curry to come along.
Adam?
Yeah.
Come on down to Austin, baby.
I'd love to. Sounds good.
I bet you have a pair of cowboy boots in that closet back there.
Oh, yeah. I got the cowboy boots. I got my bolo tie. I'm ready to go.
Snake skin, baby.
That's right.
Snake.
Python.
In the morning.
Adam Curry. I'll never get a word in edgewise.
Big app. Wait a minute. I got it right here. Big app show. This is really a great idea. You got an app on the iPhone. Well, it works fine on the iPad. And you get your
No, Leo, this is the whole point. The video is produced in portrait mode, so you turn it around. It doesn't. There you go.
And you get it every day. You get a new one. Yeah.
So a new app every day.
Isn't that a clever
free
idea?
Apps, paid apps, just good apps is what I try to do.
Yeah. There he is. Very attractive young man.
Thank you. And also, if I can just plug noagendashow.com. With the fabulous John C. Dvorak, which we do on Thursdays and Sundays, and of course on the podcast at noagendashow.com.
There's really no need to plug that because it just speaks for itself. Wonderful
and,
show.
And I really, really appreciate you having me on, Leo. I would like it if it doesn't take 3 years to get back on again.
Come back again in about two.
A lot of fun.
Okay.
you're such a mensch.
No, we'll have you on soon. You know, it's always great to have you. Thank you, Adam, for being here. Thank you all for watching. We do have a special we did on Friday. I want to give a little plug to our Government 2.0 special. Tim O'Reilly, Jennifer Poshka, and a bunch of really interesting people from government and private industry talking about a new way of thinking of government. Government as a platform, like the iPhone or Windows is a platform that people can develop for and improve. And it's a very exciting thing that maybe might transform how you think of government. It's on our Twit Specials feed, twit.tv/specials. I don't usually plug stuff on this show, but it was so important. It was so interesting. I'd like you to give it a try. twit.tv/specials. I thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can watch us do this every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC at live.twit.tv. You could chat at irc.twit.tv or subscribe to all our shows at twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit.
This is amazing.
Yes. Laptop bag. It's a laptop bag. I know, it's not a purse. It's a laptop bag. Hey, I want to remind everybody before we go that we are having a Twit meetup. I won't be there, but who cares? Because Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont will. That is at DragonCon in Atlanta, September 4th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, at the Westin Peachtree Plaza Sundial Restaurant Bar and View. So if you're at DragonCon for this weekend for... to dress up like Princess Leia or whatever, make sure you stop by 6 o'clock on the 4th. What day is that? Is that Saturday night or Friday?
Anyway, Saturday, September 4th, 6 p.m., Weston Peachtree Plaza at the Sundial Restaurant. And if you do want to go, we're trying to get an audience count. Email Lisa at twit.tv and let her know that you're going so we know how big of a room to get there.